We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77. WABC.
Monday morning. Happy Thanksgiving week, everybody. Back here on the best talk show anywhere in the country. We are Bernie and Sid in the morning on Talk Radio 77 WABC. Not bad today, about 50-something degrees, but the next 2 days, the chill will be here. It'll feel like Christmas on Tuesday and Wednesday. And we warm up on Thursday, mid-50s and sunny, before a very chilly weekend. But the good news is I got in my car this morning, saw my driver, Gene, who's a wonderful man, by the way, a wonderful man. And the first thing I said to him was, you know, every day I get in the car, I say, thank God it's Friday, even when it's Monday. I hate Mondays, folks. Bernie always says TGIM. He can have it. I hate him.
Wait a second. Excuse me. Are you actually fooled by that as well?
What do you mean?
That is pure unadulterated sarcasm?
No, I think you actually don't mind it. I think you don't care.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah, I think you don't care.
Wow. No, it is absolutely flat-out flagrant sarcasm.
Okay. Well,
I mean,
know
all these years, months, you actually thought I meant
TGIM?
Well,
I don't think you love Mondays, but I don't think you hate them like I do.
Despise, loathe.
Oh, good.
Oh, absolutely.
Good.
The apprehension that I feel on Sundays is like off the charts.
Well, that's still back from the IMUS days. That's the PTSD.
And even to this day, it's less than
It's less,
than
but
the
it's still
IMUS
rough.
Days,
yeah.
But it's still there.
But the good news is, I said to Gene this morning, I said, good Wednesday morning. Because when you consider we've got a 3-day work week, it's actually Thursday for you because you're off on Wednesday. So today is Thursday for you and it's Wednesday for me because it's only a 3-day work week.
I mean, this is the beauty of Thanksgiving, isn't it? This is what we look forward to every year after a long, long fall and a stressful one, I might add.
Yes.
Then you have this week, and it's a beautiful thing, time to give thanks. I mean, some horrific news out there, as you know.
Horrific. I mean, right now, as we're doing this radio show, folks, we've got MSNBC, CNN, and Fox News on the television sets, in the newsroom, which we can see very clearly. You can't. You're on radio. All three are talking about this speeding SUV that slammed into a crowd of Christmas goers in Wisconsin yesterday. The death toll is up to 5. At least 40 are injured. They do expect more to die. Some are saying this may be terror. I don't know. I've seen the guy I think they have in custody. I'm not sure he's a terrorist, but at any rate, this guy just plowed into this crowd, very reminiscent of what happened years and years ago in France during Bastille Day, when that was a terrorist attack, and a guy drove a truck through the crowd and killed a ton of people. This is a brutal story for Monday morning of Thanksgiving week. Kids laying dead in the street of Wisconsin, and all they were doing was singing Christmas songs and getting ready for a holiday season in a town I'd never heard of. How do you say that name? Waukesha?
Waukesha.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you, I can add some information to what the news is not reporting because they want 1,000% confirmation. But I can tell you this, the New York Post, people who we respect, Miranda Devine, Carol Markowitz, they know who the guy is. They know his name. They know exactly, they know his record. He was released on Friday. He was arrested for a bunch of charges. Among them, domestic abuse, felony, and misdemeanor charges on Friday, and he was released on $1,000 bail. He also has a social media trail supporting BLM, black nationalism, et cetera, and according to them and according to the tapes that they show, Miranda Devine, he's a registered sex offender.
Oh.
And there's he put out a video, a rap video, that includes the vehicle that killed all these people.
Oh, my God.
And in one of his posts, he talks about how to kill people, mass murder people by truck. According to Miranda Devine and Carol Markowitz reporting on Twitter. I did not see it in the New York Post. It's on Twitter. That's what they're reporting on Twitter. And that's what I can tell you right now.
Well, those are two very credible sources, Miranda Devine and Carol as well, two great New York Post columnists. So you got to believe all that is true. Now, you mentioned the fact this guy, and we'll get into all these stories more and more as the day moves on. I just want to hit a bunch of stories in the very first segment. You mentioned the fact this guy is a BLM supporter. Kyle Rittenhouse, the verdict came down on Friday. He almost hit the floor. He was so happy he was acquitted, which you and I knew for weeks that was going to be the case. No big shock there. There was violence over the weekend. There were protests. No big shock there. But I was shocked, I must say, when I read FoxNews.com this morning. And I know that tonight Tucker Carlson has an exclusive with Kyle Rittenhouse where he said, quote, I'm a BLM supporter. I'm all for it. I was just defending myself. Why, after he was innocent of these charges, would he feel the need to actually go out there and say that? That's my question to you. Unless he really feels that way.
I don't know. I look forward to watching the interview. He may feel that way, and it's not inconsistent with self-defense. You could feel that way, go out and protect private businesses, and still be a supporter of peaceful protests. That was not what he was what he was engaged in protecting from. He wasn't protecting people from a peaceful protest. Those were riots. Those are flat-out violent riots. Those thugs, the child rapist and the skateboard schmuck and all those people, they were burning stuff to the ground, and they were assaulting cops with bricks, et cetera, for 3 days. And again, as I pointed out, many people have pointed out, it wasn't until the third day that he showed up. So why he said that again, it's not, who cares? It doesn't even matter. It's not inconsistent with, well, I guess it matters in that, Joe Biden called him a white supremacist. MSNBC and CNN called him a white supremacist. There's one meme out there that Nicholas Sandman and Kyle Rittenhouse are going to take joint custody of CNN and MSNBC.
Yeah.
The implication being, that Nicholas Sandman sued and is now a multimillionaire. And yeah. So Kyle Rittenhouse will do the same.
I will tell you this, that it's never surprising after these events happen when you see the folks that go out and endorse or criticize. And once again, even on his way out with an opportunity here to just shut his mouth and go out with some decency, just a modicum of decency, this idiot mayor comes out on Friday and once again stokes the flames, talking about how this Kyle Rittenhouse verdict is terrible for America, this is not who we are, and I'm not exactly sure why that's the case. Aren't we allowed to defend ourselves in this country? What in God's name was Bill de Blasio talking about?
That's a good question. De Blasio says, what did he say, that this cannot stand or something like that? I forget the exact quote. Whatever it was, but what it resulted, of course, there was a protest. As you know, the Brooklyn Bridge was shut down. The usual anarchists marching back and forth. But even worse was that terrorism that went on in Middle Village, Queens, which is a really like a pro-cop neighborhood. A lot of cops live there. They had Blue Lives Matter signs, American flags, and 40 people descended on Middle Village, Queens, with bats and crowbars in black masks. A gang called the Black Bloc, quote-unquote the Black Bloc, BLOC, and they've just smashed the hell out. They vandalized the whole place, ripping down flags.
Middle Village?
Middle Village, Queens.
That's very close to Howard Beach. I'm surprised those people that let them get away with that.
Well, the police were there as well, and out of the 40 people, they only arrested 5 people. The police were there, and they were attacking the police. One of the people who was arrested is actually a Rutgers University graduate, and a middle school teacher in Freehold, New Jersey.
Oh, my God.
Get that. He's teaching kids, one of these guys who were terrorizing Middle Village, Queens. And the other thing about that is he crossed state lines to perpetrate terrorism. He crossed state lines. Isn't that supposed to be some sort of like, death penalty crime? He crossed state lines? Well, where is everybody on the state line thing today? I'm with this guy.
I don't know. I did go down to the village for dinner on Saturday night, and I was worried that we may bump into a couple of these maniacal rioters. Went to a place called Lorelei down there by Bowery. It was very, very good, and there were no issues. So we were able to have a nice dinner in the Village on Saturday night, and no issues here in New York City for us.
By the way, in Freehold, New Jersey, if you want to know the name of the teachers, Charles Edmonds.
Charles Edmonds.
Charles Edmonds is the guy who terrorized Middle Village, Queens, again, just ripping down, vandalizing and attacking police. And he got arrested, and he's the teacher in Freehold, New Jersey, Charles Edmonds, this guy who crossed state lines to commit terror in New York City.
Right, third big story again. We've covered the story in Wisconsin, this driver that plowed through a bunch of Christmas goers, killing five, injuring 40. That death toll may rise. Just talked about the Rittenhouse verdict. Now the House has passed the Build Back Better bill. Now that goes to the Senate. Manchin's going to hold ground. He is. So it's not going to pass, I don't think, in the Senate. But you know a lot more about this than I do. What do you think happens in the Senate with this bill?
Well, it gets amended. It gets maybe reduced a
little
bit.
Watered down, yep.
And then it goes back to the House. And if the then we see what happens in the House when it goes back. First of all, one of the reasons why, say, people like Tom Suozzi and Mikey Sherrill and Josh Gottheimer voted for it, and that's what they're going around bragging about, is that it brings back the SALT deductions. So they can brag and say, yeah, well, and who does the SALT deductions help the most? Helps rich people. So anyway, but that's what they're, it looks like that's what they're bragging about. You know, I voted for the Build Back Better, a bill, because it's going to bring back the SALT deductions. But again, they're probably going to get rid of that, and then it's going to go back to the House.
Right.
And then they won't be able to brag about that. So it remains to be seen if either A, the squad members, or B, the moderate members will then vote for the Build Back Better, the green socialist welfare bill, when it goes back to the Senate. But the number will be brought down. And remember, $1.75 trillion really is closer to $5 trillion.
Right.
Because
right.
The gimmicks and all, et cetera, yeah, which I won't go into right now, that they pull.
The other bill did pass last week, and that led to a very good conversation on this show with us, specifically you and Nicole Malliotakis. Were you surprised to hear this weekend that Nicole Malliotakis had a discussion with Donald Trump, and Donald Trump, in fact, did endorse her decision and is okay with her?
Well, he didn't endorse her decision. He still says he supports Nicole Malliotakis.
Well, he said she explained to him why she voted for the bill, and he was okay with it.
Right. Okay. Well, and great. And she explained it to us. And
I was okay with it.
Yeah. I mean, look, but still, you have Elise Stefanik. You have Lee Zeldin, who voted against it. Who was that? Adam Kinzinger voted for it. I stand with Lee Zeldin and Elise Stefanik over Adam Kinzinger. They could have held it up and pared it down a little bit by a few hundred billion dollars. At this point, a few hundred billion dollars doesn't sound like a lot of money. But in this time, day and age of wild, out-of-control inflation, it is a lot of money. But either way, what's done is done. The Build Back Better bill will go back to the House, and we'll see what happens there.
All right. Let's get to one nice call after covering those three stories. And, of course, Joe Biden's approval rating down in the dumper, too, once again this weekend. Myra is in New Jersey on this epic Thanksgiving week. Good morning, Myra.
Good morning, Sid and Bernie, the number one show. Oh, my gosh, what a great way to start the week. And I want to say happy Thanksgiving to you both, and your family, and to Mr. John Katsimatidis and Miss Margot. Now, what I want, as a black conservative, big time Trump supporter, I'm very disappointed with Kyle Rittenhouse saying that he supports Black Lives Matter. Because let me tell you, honey, I'm black, and I don't support Black Lives Matter. I believe in all lives matter. Blue lives matter the most. Especially our armed service lives matter, like the 13 Afghanistani, the 13 Marines that were killed in Afghanistan. So, you know what it is? I will never, ever apologize. If I ever get a show, I want to go after Joy Reid, LeBron James, Oprah Winfrey, you know what she did? She said, oh, systemic racism. But she had a mostly white audience.
Yeah.
LeBron James making sneakers. What about the Uyghurs? You know, so.
Right.
Yeah, no, we're with you, Myra, and all that.
Thank you. But by the way, Kyle Rittenhouse is not a, a nuclear physicist. He can say whatever the hell he wants. It's still totally irrelevant. It just does go to prove, if he's sincere, there is no evidence that he was a white supremacist. So no. It only furthers his case when he sues all these outlets, including the news outlets and President Biden, who was a private citizen when he made those comments. So that's why he's fair game in any lawsuit right now.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too, Myra. Ugly incident talking about LeBron James, Lakers and Pistons last night. And LeBron James hit somebody with an elbow and bloodied his whole face. And it was an ugly, ugly incident in Detroit last night.
You're the best player in the world.
There you go. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. It's a Monday, which Larry's going to be here. Lydia reports, beat Bernie. And as we just did, all the big stories from the weekend, including a big day in football, which ends tonight with the football Giants in Tampa Bay taking on Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Monday, Thanksgiving week. Welcome to Bernie and Sid.
Back here in the Bernie and Sid show. Come on, let's hear it. We are heard everywhere, ladies and gentlemen, on the 77 WABC app. Simulcast out on Eastern Long Island, News Talk 107.1 FM. Get that 77 WABC app, folks. You're going to love it. All day long, great programming on WABC. Also, live streamed at WABCradio.tv. You can watch us on your smart TVs, on your computers. And just a quick note, local note, they had the Islander games out at the UBS Arena in Elmont over the weekend.
One game Saturday. Yeah, right?
I think one last night as well. I believe so. And as predicted, the traffic was horrific.
Horrific.
Horrible.
And they lost both games, I think.
That could very well be. But here's the kicker. The Islanders play, guess what night?
Thanksgiving.
The heaviest traffic night maybe of the
year. Wednesday night. Yeah.
And so that's in the evening. And who are they playing?
The Rangers.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What a nightmare.
What a disaster. What a disaster.
Well, people hopefully will be home by then. Or traveling. Over 2 million people went to the airports last weekend. This is like 2019 all over again. People are back and traveling, which is good news. So hopefully by Wednesday night, by that Ranger-Islander game, it'll be quiet. I mean, most people are going to take a half day Wednesday. Some people are taking off on Wednesday.
Yeah. I wouldn't bank on it. I'd stay the hell away from it.
No, I know.
I would travel, I don't know what I would do. I would travel via the Bronx, Whitestone Bridge, Northern State Parkway, just to stay the hell anyway away from the UBS Arena on Wednesday night. Today, by the way, you speak of all this heavy traffic. Today is the day, believe it or not, that the federal vaccine mandates kick in. So that includes the TSA workers, and people are wondering how many TSA workers. Is it going to be a shortage? Today we'll tell the tale on that. I mentioned earlier this Middle Village Queens riot that occurred. 40 people went down there rampaging, all that stuff. And Eric Adams, by the way, was on Bill Maher's show with Governor Christie. And I got to tell you something. And I used to love Chris Christie, and I still like him. But Eric Adams and Bill Maher showed more balls and made more sense than Governor Christie did on Bill Maher's show. Now, Governor Christie then goes on other venues like Waters World, et cetera, and he talks tough. But when you're on the Bill Maher show, he pulls back and he looks frightened. It was just really an embarrassing performance. Maybe I'll get more into it later.
Was Adams good, though? Adams was good?
Well, yeah, Adams was good, especially for a Democrat. But, I mean, he said some of the stuff that Christie just omitted, so many things that needed to be said to the Bill Maher audience.
Yeah.
Chris Christie was, yeah, I respect what the jury said, and if you don't like the gun laws, then just change the laws. There was so much more to this story than that. So much more to be pissed off about than that. Either way, it was left up to Bill Maher to point out, well, there was a void. There were no cops there for 2 or 3 days. And that's why. And then he says, but vigilantism can't be the answer to it. Well, maybe that's true. But Chris Christie didn't even point that out.
Right.
The fact that was the reason why this stupid kid was there. So
I'll tell you one thing about Eric Adams, which Lowry is going to join you and I coming up at 7:40. And his latest column, he says, that while the Democrats are pointing towards Pete Buttigieg and Harris in 2024, Biden's not going to win again if he does run, that which Lowry said today, the guy that may be the choice may be Eric Adams for a presidential candidate. That's in Rich Lowry's column in the New York Post today.
Yep. I saw that, and we will talk to Rich Lowry certainly about that. And it's not hard to see why, because they don't have a bench. They don't have anybody. Now, Eric Adams, of course, once you run for president, you are really under a microscope. So I don't know. Be careful what you wish for, Eric Adams. I won't even bring up any names. But anyway, he did say this about the Middle Village riot. Again, Eric Adams continuing to display, say the right things, and show that he may be the leader we need in New York City right now. Take a listen to him.
To come to a neighborhood and openly destroy property, be disruptive, throw objects at the residents of a neighborhood, that is unacceptable in our city.
That's right. And he said similar things on the Bill Maher show, did Eric Adams. And again, they arrested 5 out of 40 rioters, and one of them, a Rutgers University graduate who teaches in a middle school in Freehold, New Jersey. His name is Charles Edmonds, Freehold, New Jersey Middle School. If you keep this guy teaching kids, you people are just, you need to all be fired. You need to all be, the school board needs to be, kicked out. The next election they have, whatever. Either way, Kyle Rittenhouse, you talked about him. He says, I support Black Lives Matter. I support peaceful protests. This was not about racism. This was about self-defense. Of course, the jury agreed. The politicians and everybody else, not so much. Anyway, this is what Biden said about it on Friday. Listen.
No.
Well, look, I stand by what the jury has concluded. The jury system works, and we have to abide by it.
Of course, he went out. His handler said, no, that's not good enough. His handlers had to put out a statement saying that he was angry and concerned over the verdict. So you know he's being handled. That's what he said. First of all, he didn't denounce the white supremacy comments. And then he said the right thing about I stand by the jury verdict. But later on, the handler said, no, that's way too... that's not militant enough. That's not woke enough. You got to be angry. And then you had the fake news keeps perpetuating lies. I believe this is Jonathan Carl on ABC News. You tell me what's wrong with this statement.
Well, it's very significant. First, for the community of Kenosha, this city was traumatized by the police killing of a black man, Jacob Blake.
City was traumatized by the police killing of Jacob Blake.
That was Friday. That was Jonathan Carl on Friday.
It doesn't stop.
Now, it doesn't stop. So much so, and just to give you an idea, this is what they were reporting all the time leading up for the last year and 3 months. This is what they were saying. Racism. Rittenhouse shot black people. So much so that it went global. News outlets across the globe were reporting just that. This is Glenn Greenwald, who lives in Brazil. Listen to what he said.
The three biggest news outlets in Brazil, not a year ago, but this week in covering the trial, explicitly stated that the people Kyle Rittenhouse shot were black, and they had to retract it. It wasn't just them. The Independent in the UK did the same thing. One of the leading Dutch papers did the same thing. Obviously, they're watching the American media that deliberately cultivated this false narrative from the start that he was a white supremacist, and so therefore they assumed that he went there and shot black people.
And that's, again, the common denominator nitwit in the United States who watches the mainstream fake news media. That's why they've come to the same conclusion, because the media lies. The media is the enemy of the people. One last thing, another potential lawsuit that Rittenhouse can file is against the prosecution for prosecutorial misconduct. They never should have brought this case. Never should have brought it. It was clear from the beginning. The videotape showed it was self-defense. They brought it within 48 hours before even, autopsy results came back. It was way, 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 way too soon. I mean, Rosenbaum, the child rapist, he grabbed Rittenhouse's rifle. And when Rittenhouse shot, he had gunpowder all over his hand, which proved that he grabbed it. Well, so either way, it never should have been brought. Then the misconduct during the trial. But either way, this is what Rittenhouse's attorney said about all that. Listen.
Putting on the Kandiri brothers when you know they're lying.
changing your prosecution, going with provocation, after you say that my client chased him down and shot him in the back, calling him an active shooter when he's not. You know, justice is done when the truth is reached, and I don't know that it's set up to do that, but a prosecutor is supposed to seek the truth. It's not about winning, and this case became about winning. And that's probably why it got so personal.
I mean, just everything was in motion to frame an innocent kid. Everything was in motion just to really, I mean, these people are really, I've heard them described as monsters. They really are. They don't care that he's an innocent kid. And it was all, as the prosecutor said, political. And it's pretty disgusting. Traffic in sports is coming. We're going to talk to Rich Lowry about all this a little bit later on, next hour, as a matter of fact. Traffic in sports is coming up next. Right now, it is time for the 77 WABC Clip of the Day. Listen to the Rita Cosby Show, weeknights at 10 o'clock. Here, Rita talks with law professor Alan Dershowitz on his reaction to the Rittenhouse trial verdict.
Professor Dershowitz, what was your reaction to the verdict?
I wasn't surprised because I actually watched much of it on live television. But if you watched CNN, you'd be shocked because you heard a different case. You heard that there was a young man who carried an AR-15 across state lines. Totally false. The evidence showed the gun was always there. He didn't carry it across state lines. They called him a white supremacist. They denied that he was in any way in danger of his life, ignoring the skateboard at his head, ignoring the gun, which even his victim claimed he pointed at him before he shot. So, you know, there were two trials, the one in the courtroom and the one on MSNBC and CNN and some of the other left-wing networks.
This is Sid on Sports.
Oh, my goodness!
Sponsored by Fearless Boilers on 77 WABC.
I got a kick out of these Jet fans like Joe Nolan. I was so mad when I got home. What do you expect? It's a terrible team, a terrible organization. Haven't won a Super Bowl in 54 years. What are you upset about? The Dolphins beat you. Dolphins are bad, too. 24-17, the final score. Dolphins improved to 4-7. Jets are now 2-8. Here was Tua finding the end zone in New Jersey yesterday.
Pretty good. That was about as good a throw as you could have made in that situation. But now you got to execute on third down with Gesicki in motion.
Third and goal. Tua looks left. Throws at the goal line. Touchdown, Miami. Miles Gaskin.
And there's one score for Miami. Again, they beat the Jets 24-17. The Giants, they won two of the last three. They're 3-6 on the season in Tampa Bay for Tom Brady and the 6-3 Buccaneers later on tonight, the world champs. Here's Giant coach Joe Judge on what to expect tonight.
Offensively, they're very, very balanced. They have a very good run game. The screen game is also an extension of the run game. It's very effective in terms of keeping the ball moving, staying balanced. They got explosive weapons all over the field. And we all know the quarterback's a great player. But they do a great job offensively, not just the explosive plays, but it's just staying balanced and scoring points, obviously. The reason these guys are top of the league with scoring points, and that's really the down-in, down-out execution.
A couple of finals from yesterday. The Vikings beat the Packers 34-31. Green Bay's lost two straight. They're 8-3. Chiefs beat Dallas 19-9 to improve to 7-4. The Cowboys are 7-3. Cardinals have the best record in football. They're 9-2. They beat the Seahawks on the road yesterday 23-13. And late last night, the Chargers blew a big lead, came back and beat the Steelers 41-37 to improve to 6-4. NBA last night, the Knickerbockers lose on the road 109-103 to the Bulls. The Knicks are now 9-7. Nets back in action tonight in Cleveland, taking on the Cavaliers. Hockey last night, the Rangers get a 5-4 win over Buffalo, and the Islanders still winless in their new building, now 0-2. They got shut out 3-0 by Toronto. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out today and every day at peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports, I'm Sid. Decided to supplement all the weightlifting that I do, and I had a long shoulder workout yesterday with running, you know. So I go to this weekend class at a place on the Upper East Side, and it's called Mile High. And they've got a couple locations. I think they're in NoHo, SoHo, I forget which one. It's about three locations. And what it is it's a high-impact treadmill class. So you get these young kids in their 20s, maybe 30s. They run the New York City Marathon in like an hour and a half. Annoying little bastards. And, you know, they're all like high on Zen. And you run and you feel. And they play this really loud music. And they tell you you're doing great and they love you. And they tell you to go from a 1.0 to a 3.0 on your incline. And a 6.0 to an 8.0 on your speed. And for 45 minutes to an hour, all they do is bring your heart rate up, bring your heart rate down. Bring your heart rate up. Bring your heart rate down. It's dark in there. There's a million people. There's music is blaring. And I enjoy it. I do. And I usually, in a 45-minute class, when I look at the treadmill, I do about 3.5 miles. And I burn off a ton of calories. And it's a great workout. So when I was done with that on the weekend, I've been doing that class now for the better part of a month, very quietly. Again, supplementing my weightlifting with some good, cardio stuff. So I decided I'm going to run a little bit again. I have not run a half marathon since 2009 in Fort Lauderdale. Been a long time. I ran half marathons two consecutive years. Of course, everybody knows my wife is a big-time runner, 6 New York City marathons, 31 marathons overall. So she's been trying to get me to run for years. And I'm always afraid I'm going to burn muscle, all this nonsense. And then I spoke to a couple of folks who played in the NFL, Michael Irvin, and he is huge, in great shape, and he runs almost every day. Boxers do the same thing. They run miles and miles every day. They don't lose their muscle.
Well, that type of muscle is natural.
Some of it is, some of it's not. Right. I have some muscle that's not natural.
No, that is true. You see all these muscled-up guys, and you see them boxing. And you think to yourself, oh my God, if I hit the speed bag, I hit the heavy bag, I'm going to get big muscles like them. No. Those guys are naturally muscled up.
Right.
There's people like you and I who need to lift weights.
We need to work out. Right. Exactly. But you can still work out and get those runs in. Like my stomach is basically gone at this point. I have no fat with none like you. And, you know, the jacket is still fitting tight. It's all good. So I decided to sign up for 2 runs over the next month. One is you ready for this one? With the Thanksgiving holiday coming up on Thursday, I signed up for the Frosty 5K. Frosty as in Frosty the Snowman. 5K race in Prospect Park, Brooklyn, in a couple of Saturdays. And like some of these psychos, they actually dress as like Frosty the Snowman. And they, you know, like when you go to Disney, for example, Disney does a race every year. And there are runners who are really good runners dressed as Snow White. Guys dressed as Cinderella. So you got the Frosty 5K and then I will attempt my third half marathon in March, the New York City half marathon. And that's kind of a big deal because, again, it's been 12 years for me. It's still 13.1 miles, so my training starts this weekend.
You say you're going to attempt it. You'll finish it.
Oh, I'll finish it.
The question is, in what time?
Right.
I mean, will it be, an embarrassing time?
It's not going to be good, Burn.
Well,
I don't care. I don't care. I mean, I'm going to run it. I'm going to walk it. I just want to get to 13.1 because eventually I want to do the full New York City Marathon.
That is fantastic. That is a wonderful goal to have for March. I did it myself years ago. I did several half marathons.
You did the triathlons. You were like
I did tries. Well, those tries are really, they're not the type you see in Hawaii, day-long triathlons.
Right, the Kona deal.
These are called sprints. They last, they last about as long as a half marathon, maybe 2 hours, between the biking, the running, and the swimming. But those are good objectives. I've decided not to do them any longer because I hate the fact that they always, the timing is always 8 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday.
Yes.
I don't want to get up early.
Right.
And so I decided
I'm up early anyway,
I skipped it. And
yeah.
But either, and plus the running as well with me, I turn into a scarecrow. I mean, I really get thin.
Yeah.
And that's another reason for me saying,
no, I got you.
I'll skip the 13-mile run.
That makes sense. And then, of course, all the training that goes into it, 5 miles here, 6 miles there, that also eats into your muscle if you're not lifting enough and doing the proper supplements and eating enough, by the way, which is another major issue. So all those things go into play. But I think it'll be good. I'm looking forward to it. And, eventually with my son's charity, Gabriel, and his dyspraxia, we want to run under his charity. You ever see the New York City Marathon and people are always running under a certain charity, whether it's autism or any one of these different charities. We want to do that for Gabriel eventually, sooner than later, so I could warm up with the half marathon in March and be ready to run the full marathon, hopefully next November, and do it for my son's charity. That would be a lifelong dream and something Gabriel, quite frankly, can hold on to forever. So it goes above and beyond just trying to run and stay in good shape and look good in my sport jackets. There is a end game here, which is Gabe's charity, something he can have for the rest of his life, even when I'm long gone.
And the collateral benefit of being healthy and,
right.
and looking damn good.
Right, all that.
That doesn't hurt.
Doesn't hurt.
No, so good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you. That was my weekend. Watched a whole bunch of football, had a nice dinner, and, of course, kept up with all the news. And locally, you know, we've heard of all these national stories, Kyle Rittenhouse, Joe Biden's approval ratings again in the dumper. We did the horrible scene in Wisconsin, the SUV plowing over people, the Build Back Better bill. But locally, this story about this soccer player that was on the 2 train, I take that train all the time. Oh, and by the way, I took it every day when we worked at Madison Square Garden. The 1, the 2, and the 3 from Penn Station uptown to 103rd every day. And this poor guy's asleep, the soccer player, Saturday night on the 2 train, and some psycho walks over unprovoked and stabs him in the neck and kills him. That's not the only story from this weekend. Last night, I had the local news on, 6 o'clock last night. The first 5 stories, Bernie, I'm not exaggerating, the first 5 stories involved either stabbings or shootings in New York City, but that one particularly, this guy's asleep on the train, gets stabbed in the neck, and dies at Penn Station.
Terrible.
That one really bothered me.
That was shortly after midnight Saturday night. Yeah, just horrendous. And the guy was likable. I mean, it was a random stabbing. Who knows? The guy was licking up going home. Who cares? He didn't deserve to be stabbed in the neck like that.
I was asleep. It wasn't even bothering anybody.
You know what? Check this out. There was a soccer game at Yankee Stadium over the weekend. Yesterday, as a matter of fact. Soccer game. The stands. Well, not full. Not completely full. But guess what? One of the fans got shot.
At the soccer game.
Yeah. They don't know who shot him. They think it might have been a stray bullet from outside the stadium.
Oh, my God. Well,
at Yankee Stadium.
It's possible. What do you mean, Yankee Stadium's a brutal neighborhood?
And then, and listen, and you want to talk about horrific stories. In Philadelphia, a seven month pregnant woman, she was loading her car up with gifts from her baby shower.
Oh, boy.
And she was shot 11 times.
11
and,
times?
And of course,
accidentally?
Of course, no. She was they think, targeted and killed. She was murdered. But, you know, the depravity out there is horrific. You want to talk about crime as well? Out in San Francisco? There was 80 people. This was coordinated. They used cars to block traffic to stop the police. 80 people shoplifted a Nordstrom's.
Jesus.
80 freaking people. And the same thing happened in Chicago. It was an organized shoplifting effort. I believe it was a Gucci store. I'm not sure. It was like $100,000 worth of stuff stolen.
Gucci. Can't wait to see that movie.
So they decriminalized shoplifting, and then these guys, the one in Nordstrom in San Francisco, they actually showed up with baseball bats and crowbars and stuff like that. It was a Gucci store. Confirmed it was a Gucci store in Chicago.
One other story that also caught my attention yesterday was the FDA has asked a federal judge to wait 55 years before releasing information and data on the vaccines. I would ask you, again, you're much smarter than me, why wait 55 years to get that data? What wouldn't we have that data well before 55 years? Because, what's the rub here?
I don't know. But in this day and age, everything is politicized, including vaccines and viruses and therapeutics and all that stuff. And apparently it doesn't, whatever information they have, doesn't fit their narrative. Again, it is narrative over fact and science. And so that would be my speculation. I really don't know what their motivation is, but it seems very, very suspect to me that to wait 55 years. Why? I mean, what could possibly be the reason for that?
Crazy, right? 55 years?
Yeah. It is sick. And now you had Fauci over the weekend saying, well, in order to be fully vaccinated, if you want to be in a congregate setting, you know, just say in a room with other people, okay,
right.
Doc?
Yeah, get the booster.
But now you got to get the booster to be fully,
I'm not getting the booster.
Fully vaccinated.
I'm not getting the booster yet. I will get it eventually. I know you've already gotten it. If they make it easy for me, I'll get it here upstairs with John and Margo. But I'm not getting it yet. And I'm still going to congregate, sorry, Dr. Fauci, as much as I can.
Yeah, you are, of course.
Of course I am.
Where did I read they're bringing back mask mandates?
Well, I will tell you this. They may be bringing them back in certain places, but as of this weekend, Ron DeSantis down in Florida did such a good job that Disney will no longer require their workers to get vaccinated. They are putting a stop to that now.
They can't. That was, remember last week I told you about him showing up in Brandon, Florida at the Brandon car dealership. That was where he announced the ban on vaccine mandates in the state of Florida. So Disney really had no choice. They had to stop it. I mean, it's state law. Otherwise, they would have been paying up the wazoo, whatever, fines, however many people they forced to get the vaccine or fired, whatever. I don't know what the penalty was or how it was constructed, but it was all because of DeSantis, yes, and that Brandon, Florida announcement during which everybody was screaming, "Let's go, Brandon." Just too funny.
Ron DeSantis is the man. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. What a great first hour on this happy Thanksgiving week. Monday morning, Rich Lowry coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Lydia Reports in the 8 o'clock hour. And your chance to win cash and prizes with Pete Bernie in the 9 o'clock hour. We are Bernie and Sid on a Monday.
Guy Mitchell, ladies and gentlemen, that's really old, but I like it. Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everywhere on the 77 WABC app. We're going to talk to Rich Lowry, who has a very interesting column out this morning. Over the weekend, it came out about Eric Adams maybe being a presidential candidate in 2024. A lot of machinations behind it all, and Rich Lowry will... He will explain it all to us. Now, another impressive African American individual. Her name is Winsome Sears. She's the lieutenant governor elect down in Virginia. Everybody's heard of her. I played clips. I love this woman to death. She's a Marine Corps veteran. She grew up in the Bronx, a Jamaican immigrant. She can never be president, unfortunately, because she is a Jamaican immigrant. But she went on fake news CNN yesterday, and the host started to say that critical race theory, that was a big issue down in Virginia. The host started to say that critical race theory is not being taught in Virginia. Lady, what are you talking about? Well, this is how it went.
American history should be taught, and that we should also tell viewers, you're the former vice president of the Virginia Board of Education. So explain how you think race should be taught in Virginia public schools.
Well, let me back up. I beg to differ that CRT is not taught.
I didn't say that. I just said it's not in the curriculum, just to be clear.
Oh, really?
No. It is part of the curriculum. It's weaved in and out of the curriculum. In fact, in 2015, former governor, who was just defeated, McAuliffe, his state board of education had information on how to teach it. So it's weaved in.
That's what I'm talking about. You go in their house and smack them around and teach them to lie to the American people. A Winsome Sears, an American hero, ladies and gentlemen, a veteran. Look, we're going to talk to Rich Lowry, maybe about her. And also about the Kyle Rittenhouse and the latest on the horrific tragedy in Waukesha, Wisconsin. There's more information, folks. You're not hearing it on the local news now. They're afraid to, they want to confirm it 1,000%, but there are facts that are known out there being reported by very credible New York Post reporters online, though not on their web pages and not in the newspaper as well. I'll tell you what they are coming up on the Bernie and Sid Show.
Let me walk on the bottom of the rolling sea.
Let me run across this great and fertile land. Cause the world ain't big enough for me. Oh no, the world ain't big enough for me.
Feel like you. One only me.
Janis Joplin, baby.
Yeah,
one of the greats.
I would have banged him. Why not? It's Janis Joplin.
Well, it's a free country, right?
I mean, I'm married now, but I'm saying if I was single and yes, come on, as bro. Fat and Listen. Nasty as she was.
She was. But God bless her, she could sing.
She can really sing.
She could sing. She was a part of that 27 Club, right?
Yes, she is. Yes. A lot of them, Woodstock were part of that club. Her, Jimi Hendrix, and there was one more. I forgot who it is, but.
Jim Morrison.
Kurt Cobain, too.
The Doors were not at Woodstock. Who?
Oh, Kurt Cobain died at 27, but he wasn't at Woodstock,
right,
obviously.
Right.
No, not at all. Not at all.
That'll tell him to shoot his mouth off. See what I did there? Go ahead.
Well, how about... a lot of ugly stuff out there, and the latest we talked about a little bit earlier was the Waukesha, Wisconsin. Horrific. An SUV plows through a nice festive Christmas parade. And as you pointed out, Sid, they did the same thing in Europe and Germany and Nice, France, Christmas parades. And so you think automatically Islamic terror.
The Nice one was actually on Bastille Day.
Oh, was it Bastille Day?
Yes, because that's when they have the most people in that area. In France. Yeah. But yeah, Germany was and the Netherlands, I think, was Christmas, yes.
All right, but it turns out that it doesn't look like it was Islamic terror. Nobody's saying the motive or even identifying the suspect at this point.
But nobody said Islamic terror. What I read said terrorism, and this could very well be domestic terrorism by a very unhappy and troubled person, right? Domestic terrorism.
Yes, or some of the reports are that he was fleeing an incident, a stabbing that he perpetrated just minutes before the actual mowing down of people. But either way, here is the fact. This is being reported by Miranda Devine and by Carol Markowitz, two credible reporters from the New York Post, is that this guy was arrested on multiple counts on Friday. Some of the counts, they were felonies and misdemeanors, and some of them were domestic abuse, which even if it's a misdemeanor, you know, that means he was punching out women, all right? Mm-hmm. So he was arrested on Friday and released on $1,000 bail, including felonies. This is what they're reporting. There's actually a police report that they're posting. This journalist, Andy Ngo, he's a Vietnamese guy. He's in the middle of all these riots all the time. And this is what he writes. The man in custody over the mass casualty incident has posted on his social media in support of BLM causes, George Floyd, and black nationalism. He also has a post about how to get away with running people over on the street. Now, that was, I only learned that because that's what Miranda Devine retweeted. And she writes, quote unquote, black supremacist. That's how President Biden and allies would characterize him if he truly believed in equity. Were you watching Dems, MSNBC, CNN, WAPO, Washington Post, New York Times, etc.? That's Miranda Devine writing that. Now, this guy, again, I'm not going to mention his name. He has a long criminal rap sheet, and so that's where that stands. Carol Markowitz also says that he also posts a video of him singing a rap song in which he talks about shooting and killing and all this stuff, and you actually see the red SUV in that rap song from this guy. So it looks like this is the guy, and he's also, according to Miranda Devine, a registered sex offender. So now you're up to date, folks. That is the early news on the perp in Waukesha, Wisconsin, that the mainstream media is afraid to go with for some reason. They actually have mugshots of this guy and everything.
The mainstream media. I got to tell you, I was watching the local news last night, and I complained about this. So they talk about the person of interest who killed this soccer player on the train, right? And they go, he's a male, he's about 6'4", he was wearing a dark sweatshirt, and dark skin. Not a black guy, dark skin. Okay, very next story, you got this Ahmed Arbery story. Terrible story, good guy, jogging. These three white guys, clearly racist, trying to make it seem like, well, he may have committed a felony. Nonsense. They went out and tried to kill this kid. The guy said, I was worried he was going to overpower me. I don't buy any of it. These are three white racists, just got the electric chair. But right away, they go, three white guys. So the story before, where clearly a black guy committed a crime and killed somebody, they refused to identify the guy as black, but had no issue saying three white guys in the Arbery case. And I have to tell you, that happens every night in every city across this country, they do not report a black guy committed the crime.
Yes.
They never do.
I feel you, bro. I feel your anger.
What is that?
It is flat-out hypocrisy and racism is what it is, and it's pandering. It's also, I mean, look, if you're sincerely interested in catching the person, let's describe who the freak he is.
Right.
You know, never mind the
black
hoodie.
Black guy, 6'5", has a knife.
Let's get into the details. Let's not, you know, let's be a colorblind society and just call facts the way they are. Forget narrative versus facts. Go with the facts, okay? And also, Kyle Rittenhouse, he gave an interview. It's going to be aired tonight on Tucker Carlson. He was acquitted on all counts on Friday, of course. And some of the excerpts released by Tucker Carlson include this. Take a listen.
This case has nothing to do with race. It never had anything to do with race. It had to do with the right to self-defense. I'm not a racist person. I support the BLM movement. I support peacefully demonstrating. And I believe there needs to be change. I believe there's a lot of prosecutorial misconduct, not just in my case, but in other cases. And it's just amazing to see how much a prosecutor can take advantage of somebody.
Well, and look, the kid needs to be educated about BLM. He's really not a bright, very bright 18-year-old. But
no, in fact, his mother said, if that happens again, he's not going back out there with a gun. What do you mean it happens again? But it is worth pointing this out. He says it's not about race. For folks that don't really keep up with the entire news story, it does go back to a racial incident where Jacob Blake, a black guy, was killed by the cops. So the whole story is about race, unfortunately, even though we came to find that Jacob Blake was a scumbag and a bad guy and a criminal. But it does go back to racism in that Blake, black guy killed by white cops. That's why those riots happened. And that's why Rittenhouse was in the situation he was in.
You're right. Exactly. When people start to say this had nothing to do with race, it kind of does, because the child rapist and the woman beater, the skateboard schmuck, they were out there protesting the fake news that a black man was shot unjustly by police.
Correct.
And so in that sense, it has something to do with race. But again, it goes back to the media misportraying what happened to Jacob Blake. This is all a media-fueled hoax. The whole Kenosha riot thing was a hoax. The Jacob Blake, that was a hoax. The whole Kyle Rittenhouse was running rampant. He's a mass shooter running rampant through the streets, a vigilante shooting people. A media-fueled hoax.
Fake news.
Fake news. And, I mean, the fact that the media and everybody neglected to report on the skateboard schmuck being a serial woman beater and this guy Rosenbaum, they're calling him JoJo, rest in peace JoJo, and all this. I mean, there's so many people tweeting that type of crap out that they side with a guy who raped five boys, 11 counts of raping five boys, anally raping five boys between the ages of 9 and 11. They sided with this guy, and they don't even report that fact. Is unfreaking believable to me. It just boggles my mind. It just further ingrains in my head how much I can't stand these people. Now, one of the journalists, the reason why we had so much video was because of these online journalists from the Daily Caller, a Town Hall, et cetera, et cetera. This guy, Drew Hernandez, who was actually a witness during the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse. Because we had their video early on, before we got the drone video at the end of the trial, we had their video showing us that Kyle Rittenhouse was innocent. He was running away. And again, one of the guys was Julio Rojas. And I loved what Julio Rojas said about this guy, Rosenbaum, who was not only a child rapist, but he was screaming the N-word, and it didn't go unnoticed by Julio Rojas when he was interviewed Friday night. Take a listen.
People are calling this a win for white supremacy when the only evidence we have of someone being racist that night was Joseph Rosenbaum, who was slinging the N-word around like he was some wannabe SoundCloud rapper. And I should know that because I filmed him doing that while telling other white people to shoot him. And so, I mean, I guess at the end of the day, I guess you got to be careful what you wish for.
Ha ha.
Wow.
You got to love that. So and there is video today. I mean, I could have gotten audio from these guys, but I asked for too much. Just get the audio of this guy saying, shoot me, N-word, shoot me, N-word, shoot me, N-word. And, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
you low-life scumbag. These people Justin, these people? What does Maxine Waters say? Yeah, she says they're a bunch of
scumbags.
Thank you, Maxine Waters. Thank you so much. Look, the media, again, refuses. MSNBC was actually booted from the trial for stalking the jurors. And they still refuse, even in the face of these lawsuits that are going to come down the pike against MSNBC and CNN. Again, the meme online is that Nicholas Sandman and Kyle Rittenhouse are going to take joint custody of CNN and MSNBC. But this is MSNBC on Friday, right after the verdict. They're still doubling down on the whole nonsense. Listen.
The next time there's a protest of some sort, and it may get politicized, that gun owners with a certain ideology may feel incentivized now, may feel even emboldened.
What some may take from this verdict is that vigilante justice prevailed.
Knowing the history of vigilante justice in this country, all the way back to times of enslavement, when people would be deputized to go out and track down enslaved persons who ran away, to lynching mobs, and this is 2021.
It is to tell the current and future Kyle Rittenhouses of the world that they can engage in white vigilantism and be let off for it, be defended and protected for perpetuating white supremacy.
Listen, defunding the police and not deploying the National Guard or the police when people are rioting, the default position is for civilians to go out and protect property, no matter who it is, whether it's a 17-year-old kid or it's the guy that actually owns that property. That is the default. That's what the Koreans did during the Rodney King riots. They actually had, they got their guns and they protected their businesses. You want to call that vigilante justice? Well, they needed to do it. They didn't have, there was no police. There was nobody there. That's what happens when you erase the thin blue line and you have anarchy in the streets. You're going to have civilians protect that. You want to call it vigilante justice? Call it that. But again, of course, in this case, we know it boiled down to self-defense. And one last thing is that Bill Maher had on Chris Christie. I tell you that Chris Christie was so tepid, so weak on Bill Maher's show.
He's everywhere these days, Chris Christie. He is everywhere.
He's selling a book. And, you know, he's trying to increase his probably his leverage at GMA. His contract is probably expiring. He doesn't have a chance in hell in running for president. In fact, somebody asked him, would you run with Liz Cheney as your VP? And instead of saying, hell no, he gave another weak, tepid answer. Either way, he did say that he agreed with the jury. This is a good day for America. But on Bill Maher's show, again, he was very, very tepid. There's so many other aspects of the trial that needed to be heard by the Bill Maher audience, like the fact that Joe Biden called Rittenhouse a white supremacist, and the media did as well. They had this kid, they prejudged the case, no due process for a year and 3 months. He didn't say any of that. It took Bill Maher and Eric Adams to say the things that need to be said. Here's what Bill Maher said in the face of Chris Christie not saying what he should have said.
I don't think it's a great idea to say to people, you know what, if the police are not doing the job as they weren't at that moment in Kenosha, the answer can't be, then the citizens have full police powers. That can't be the response, right?
No, I think it's okay. No, and I don't disagree with that. The point, though, is that you can't use an individual case to send a broader societal message if the laws don't cover it. So what you need to do then, if we're concerned about that, and we should be, is then we need to go after the laws and make sure we make it very clear to people.
The answer is this, stupid. Listen here. Let me school you there, Tubby. The answer is that the National Guard should have been deployed on day one. The police should have been deployed on day one, and we wouldn't have had that.
Yep.
Bill Maher says that the default position should not be vigilantism. Well, then what the hell would it be? What would it be if not that? But Christie was trying to pander. He looked scared in front of Bill Maher's audience. And one last thing, Eric Adams, sitting right next to him, also said the right thing. Listen.
I'm really concerned. There is I believe there's an anarchist group in this country. The only desire is to continue to pull our cities apart. When I saw police vehicles being firebombed, when I saw the destruction of property that's happening, we have a place in Portland where there's a city in a city. This is America. There's only one country called America. There's not multiple countries.
So he's talking about the rioters and the thugs didn't belong in the streets. Chris Christie didn't say any of that. This took Eric Adams said that after Chris Christie made his remarks. And so, you know, Governor Christie, I like you. I used to love you. But right now I'm sick of you.
1-800-848-WABC. I second that emotion. 1-800-848-9222. Bill O'Reilly's morning message is coming up next. And then you're going to get Rich Lowry, always great on a Monday morning, from the National Review. We roll on. This is Monday Morning with Bernie and Sid.
Bill O'Reilly here, and I'm warming up for the NRIA.net studios in New York. Stand by for the O'Reilly Update Morning Edition.
On this Monday, I hope you do something nice this Thanksgiving week. Maybe a donation to a food bank. Maybe you pick up some groceries for an elderly neighbor. That kind of thing. Although times are tough in America, and they are, we are a strong people. We are waging a war against the progressive movement, and it is brutal. But that doesn't mean we flee the battlefield. The way to convince people that traditional America is noble and the way to go in the future is to be a traditional American. Do something nice. All over the country, in small towns and counties, everybody knows who needs help. On this Thanksgiving week, we all have an opportunity to pitch in. I never understand people who sit in their living rooms outraged by what I report to you on the radio, but then they don't take steps themselves to go out and counter some of this madness. The progressive left could not care less about advancing the nobility of America. They despise America, and they're trying to tear it apart. We all know that. But we traditional Americans, kindness is what we have to embrace. Happy Thanksgiving.
That is the Morning O'Reilly Update. More analysis later on.
Outstanding first half for Colt McCoy. Lost the football, then throws. Touchdown. Second of the game for Zach Ertz.
I am a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road, searching in the sun for another overload. I hear you singing in the wire. I can hear you through the whine and the Wichita lineman. Still on the
Kenny Albert on the call, Colt McCoy. Two more touchdowns to Zach Ertz, and the Cardinals beat Seattle 23-13, the best record in the National Football League after 11 weeks, which finishes tonight with the Giants and the Buccaneers. Belongs to the Arizona Cardinals, are now 9-2, and they played their last three games without their starting quarterback, Kyler Murray. I will say this, Sundays.
Let me ask you, what ends tonight?
The week 11 of the NFL.
Oh, week 11, I'm sorry.
Giants and
go
Buccaneers.
Ahead. I thought you were saying the season ended.
No. We got six more games to go. But I tell you this, as much as I enjoy Sunday, because I still love football, the players are scumbags and they hate America, all that stuff, but I still love it. Sunday nights, for me now, it doesn't get better because 8 o'clock every Sunday night on the Paramount Channel, a show that I started watching, I think, before anybody else. No one ever mentioned this show, but I watched the first two seasons, caught up in it, and now new episodes every Sunday at 8 on the Paramount Channel, Yellowstone. This is far and away the best show on TV. This is, you know, The Sopranos was appointment setting. There have been very few shows since. I'm not going to give you Boardwalk Empire. I'm not. This is appointment setting. Kevin Costner has written just an unbelievable show. He's great in it. The girl who plays his daughter, whoever she is, she may be the best actress on television. She's that good. And you just have to watch this show. And I think it's number one show on cable right now.
One more time, the name of it?
It's called Yellowstone.
Yellowstone.
8 o'clock Sunday nights, new episodes on Paramount. Go back and watch the first two seasons on demand. But I think it's number one, and I read something in some paper that said the reason why it does so well in big cities is that people in New York, Philadelphia, Chicago, Boston, they're intrigued by that lifestyle. It's kind of like Bonanza meets The Sopranos, because Costner is a ranch owner, but he's a dangerous guy. And you see all the inner workings of government in Montana with the Native Americans, and the scenery is absolutely gorgeous. They're on horses every scene, and it's captivating America. So if you haven't seen it, trust me, folks, Yellowstone, 8 o'clock on Sunday nights. And I kept thinking to myself last night, boy, I'm just going to love this show. They play Willie Nelson music during the show. They're on horses. Everybody wears a cowboy hat. He would have come on every Monday morning and made me, you, or Francesa give him a Yellowstone update like he did with The Apprentice. He would love that show.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I might have to give it a look-see.
Check it out. I promise you, you're going to love it. Yellowstone coming up episode 3 of the new season, Sunday night at 8. Yeah, just a bunch of tweets. The ABC reporter said that Jacob Blake was killed by the police. I think I echoed that, but he didn't die. He survived.
No. I said to you, what's wrong with this clip?
Right.
And I believe you answered the question correctly. Jacob Blake did not die. Jonathan
Carl. No, I didn't. I actually echoed the same thing.
Oh, I thought you were saying it sarcastically.
No, I didn't. No. So oh, I got oh, a bunch oh, yeah. of tweets. So he survived, Jacob Blake.
Oh, my God. Either that or Michael Strahan had a, what do you call it?
Body double?
No, you know, the thing they did with Tupac. They put him up on concert, in the concert, whatever. Either way, Michael Strahan interviewed a fake Jacob Blake. No, he survived. He's paralyzed, but he survived.
That's right. He's paralyzed. That's right. Right.
Listen, we're going to bring in Rich Lowry right now. He is the editor of the National Review, syndicated columnist. An all-around great guy, Rich Lowry. We look forward to this time on Monday mornings every week. Good morning to you.
Hey, how's it going?
It could be a lot worse, Rich. It's Thanksgiving week. Come on, bro. Come on, man. Hey, listen.
Everyone's got a lot to be grateful for.
Well, a lot to be. We really do. Amidst all this turmoil and even death and stuff that we were witnessing, we still have a lot to be grateful for. But let's start where Sid left off. Talking about Jacob Blake, Kenosha, the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict. And let's specifically drill down to Joe Biden. I stand by what the jury says, blah, blah, blah. And then a couple of hours later, his handler is putting out a statement saying, I'm angry and concerned with the verdict. What do you make of all that, Rich?
Yeah, I mean, this clearly seems an example of Biden saying something that was in his gut. And, you know, I have no use of the guy. I know you guys don't either. But he's been around for 50 years, so he has a certain respect for American norms. And he knows the right thing for a president to say is, I respect the jury verdict. And they're surrounded by a bunch of woke people who wrote a statement that, at the very least, had a different tenor. And this has just been so disturbing how everyone in the media, practically, and all progressives are not willing to accept the facts and the law. In this case, you're just talking about the ABC reporter who thought Jacob Blake had been killed. You had all sorts of usually semi well-informed people saying that Rittenhouse had shot black people, right?
Right.
This case was totally racialized when it was one white guy shooting three other white guys. Why is the president of the NCAACP concerned about that? You know, it's because they've made the protesters African Americans by proxy, which makes no sense, and then say this decision was preordained. You know, since 1619, because we had slavery, which is also insane. This is a clear case of self-defense. The prosecutors played the video and said, look, he's a murderer. And then the defense played the video and said, look, he was running away in every instance and getting attacked. He was acting in self-defense. And that was clearly the right answer.
Joe Biden turned 79 this weekend. And I think a lot of people, even Democrats, would agree that he is the worst president, year one, in the history of that office. Yet he's telling his allies that he is going to run again, which, of course, is easy to say now. 3 years from now, he'll be 82, but he's going to run again in 2024. But I read something you wrote. It's in today's New York Post, by the way, Rich, where you talk about Buttigieg and Harris may be the act in 2024, but maybe, just maybe, the guy that just won the mayoral race here in New York, Eric Adams, he may be the biggest threat to win the presidency for the Democrats in 2024.
Yeah, I don't think Adams necessarily himself, you know, we have no idea how he's going to govern yet. But my point in that piece is, if the Democrats are faced with the choice in 2024 between Kamala Harris and Pete Buttigieg, they are totally screwed, right? Because they both represent the worst weaknesses of the Democratic Party. Kamala Harris is kind of mindless identity politics. You know, if you're a minority or woman or whatever else, that you should be celebrated and elevated, which people don't like. And then Sneaky Pete, as Bernie calls him, represents this tendency in the Democratic Party to appeal to college-educated whites over and above everyone else. And Pete is just, he's like a management consultant. He's a technocrat. He has no feel for common people. And what makes Eric Adams different, you know, he was willing to depart with woke orthodoxy. He played the race card at times, but he realized, you know, you don't appeal to African-Americans just through woke bromides. And he's interesting and different and unpredictable. And that's what the Democratic Party needs, not Harris or Buttigieg.
They need, yeah, exactly right. They need sanity and common sense. Pretty much Rich Lowry right on the money. Hey, Rich, a story that we didn't discuss here on the Bernie and Sid show yet, and I'll bring it up to you, is that the New York Times reported on Saturday, and I'm sure you saw this, you know about it, a firm that Hunter Biden owns 10% of actually helped a Chinese company buy a cobalt mine in the Congo, a $4 billion deal. And the reason why that's important is that China now owns this mine, which uses a rare earth mineral called cobalt to make what? Electric car batteries. And it seems like, the fact that he's bought and sold by China and that Joe Biden is pushing electric cars is some sort of conflict of interest, no?
Well, it just goes to how sleazy Hunter Biden is and how he operates at the very least at this borderline of sleazy business and government and public policy. And that just should be a major area of investigation when Republicans take the House next year. You know, I hats off to the Times actually doing that story. But if this were Donald Trump Jr., there'd be nothing else. Morning Joe would be doing it all 3 hours this right. morning, right? There would be a complete obsession.
No,
so Republican investigators are going to have to drive this home. And by the way, speaking of China, I mean, that they disappeared this tennis player and
yeah.
now are putting out these kind of fake videos. Why are we going to do the Olympics there? You know, there are about 100 other countries in the world that would be preferable. And we're really going to regret it, by the way, when they invade Taiwan in a couple of years. We're going to say, what the heck were we thinking going and giving this huge propaganda victory?
Yeah, I mean, between the COVID and Taiwan, but this Peng story is an interesting story that this diplomat, I guess, this government official, I should say, was having sex with her. She said it was consensual. She disappeared. Kind of a wild, wild story. But I tell you what else is wild. What's happening in the state of Texas? First of all, Beto O'Rourke says he doesn't want Joe Biden trailing him when he runs for governor. But right now, there was a poll taken this weekend, and the guy that is clobbering everybody, including Governor Abbott, is actor Matthew McConaughey. I mean, by big numbers. What do you think about that?
I mean, it would be interesting. You know, sometimes these guys, the numbers look good, and then they get out there and they don't know anything, and they sort of stumble around. It's not as easy to be a politician as it looks, but sometimes they get in and they run the table. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger was an example of that. So if I were Abbott, it'd be something I'd be worried about.
Absolutely, Governor McConaughey. that would be. I mean, it is funny. So listen, the Build Back Better bill, this green welfare socialist bill, voted yes in the House on Friday. It now goes to the Senate, where it's going to probably get chopped up or whatever. You tell us, Rich Lowry, your assessment of that and Joe Manchin and all that.
I think it's probably, unfortunately, more than the 50% chance it passes. I don't think it's a guarantee. There's still some significant chance it goes down. The important next step in that regard would be Manchin just saying, hey, let's wait till next year, because delay is not in their favor. So that's what I'm hoping. You know, he's talked about a strategic pause, but we'll see. At the end of the day, I think Manchin wants to cut a deal. I'm not sure about Sinema. There's some chance it bounces the wrong way for Democrats and they don't get it. But if they do get it, at least it will be reduced from the House version.
Rich, we want to wish you a very happy and a healthy Thanksgiving. You've been great with us again this year, and we want you to have a great holiday and come back again next Monday and keep it up, pal. You're great as always.
Thanks, Rich.
Hey, well, one thing I'm grateful for is being on with you guys every Monday. Really appreciate what you do in WABC, and God bless America.
Wow, thank you for that. Nice. That's very, very cool. Thank you. We feel the same way. Right back at you, good looking. Rich Lowry there on the Bernie and Sid Show, this time every Monday morning. He'll be back again next week. 1-800-848-WABC. Still more to come, including Beat Bernie, an anniversary today of one of the darkest moments in American history. We'll get to that after some more Eddie Money.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, some 38 minutes ago. Vice President Lyndon Johnson has left the hospital in Dallas, but we do not know to where he has proceeded. Presumably, he will be taking the oath of office shortly and become the 36th President of the United States.
Ago today, one of the most tragic days in the history of this country, President John Kennedy shot dead during his motorcade in Dallas, Texas, by a combination of San Giancarlo, and Fidel Castro, even though they arrested some guy named Lee Harvey Oswald. That was nonsense. John F. Kennedy killed 58 years ago today. Now, you were a little boy, Bernard. I wasn't even born yet. I was born in 1967. Do you remember this day 58 years ago?
I was a wee lad. What I do recall, what sticks out of my head, is that the my cartoons and the Three Stooges or whatever the hell I was watching.
Oh, they took it off.
Was preempted by coverage of this. That is really what stands out in my head.
That's funny.
Yeah. I mean, watch sitting there in my living room up in the Monroe houses. With my family, yo. We was checking out the television.
That's funny.
And that's what I remember.
That you remember. I'm trying to think. I was born in 67. So what would have been my first memory of that? Like my shows being preempted. Anything happened in the early night? I guess the Vietnam War ended.
You would have
Watergate.
Had, what you would have had when Bobby Kennedy and Martin Luther King were, that spring of 68 when the two of them were
that
assassinated.
I wouldn't remember it.
Oh, yeah, no.
So how could be like early to mid-70s?
70s? Nah, maybe.
Vietnam War ending, no?
Yeah, but you wouldn't remember
Watergate.
That. The president resigning, you might remember that.
That's right.
You might remember Nixon.
That would have taken the Flintstones off of that.
Yeah, you should remember that, but
I don't. I don't remember.
How about when Reagan was shot?
I remember that very well. But so, remember, I was 14 at that point.
All right, now we're getting close. We're getting warmer. We're narrowing it down. How about the Iranian hostage situation?
Very well. I would watch Nightline with my father every night. And Ted Koppel. And in fact, one of the hostages was a professor from Brooklyn College. And I lived in Brooklyn at the time. We all kind of rallied around this guy. I think his name was like Barry Rosen. If my memory serves me correct, Barry Rosen.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so I remember that very, very well. I was 12. Don't forget, that was 79. I was born in 67. It was right before I got bar mitzvahed. So those things I remember, yes. I even remember the gas lines with my father, boycotting the Olympics, all that stuff. Jimmy Carter, 1979, I remember very, very well.
What I do recall, of course, as you mentioned, 58 years ago, during the IMUS days, we used to have a gentleman on by the name of Jack Valenti.
I remember Jack Valenti, sure.
He ran the Motion Picture Academy Association, whatever the hell you call it.
He was a big deal.
He was a huge deal, but not only was he a huge deal, he was an advisor to LBJ, and he became an advisor. You see that famous picture of LBJ being sworn in on Air Force One. Jack Valenti's face is in that picture, that infamous picture. It's like you look in the back and you see his face. But he used to come on every year to talk about the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah.
And then he wrote a book. He wrote a book called My Life in War, the White House, and Hollywood, Jack Valenti did. And this is this was back in 2007. He wrote the book. And he was going to come on the Imus Show and promote the book. And he was a great guy. He flew a bomber in World War II.
Yeah. I remember.
Ran the motion picture, and then he was an aide, and he was there, all this stuff. But then then Imus got fired.
What, Chris? Right.
He couldn't promote the book because Imus got fired in 2007.
Oh.
And then Jack Valenti passed away.
Before I almost got back.
Before we got back.
Oh, my God.
So what we did, what I did, out of because I loved Jack Valenti, was got in touch with his daughter and booked her, put her on the air.
Oh, cool, cool.
And promoted his book posthumously. Because he was a great American. He was a terrific individual. Jack Valenti. That's one of my anecdotes from the Kennedy assassination.
That's a good anecdote. I actually had an argument with somebody this weekend about vice presidents because we were talking about how Kamala Harris is the worst vice president of all time. And then we got into, well, who's the best vice president of all time? And the only one that really came to mind to me was 41 when he was Ronald Reagan's vice president. He went on to become president, of course, himself. And this person was angry, really angry, that I refused to give the title to Lyndon Johnson. This person thought that Lyndon Johnson, under pressure, taking over the country when Kennedy got killed, did a great job. And, of course, you don't give him credit for the black people allowing them to do the things that they do
Civil
today.
Rights.
Yes, he did a great job with that, Lyndon Johnson.
Bill.
But the person was angry that I didn't give him credit for taking over the country at such a dramatic time after an assassination and him kind of calming things down here in the United States.
Well, look, he didn't bollocks things up, let's put it that way. And the Voting Rights and the Civil Rights Act that he helped usher through Congress, those were, you know, important, very important milestones. But he also brought in the Great Society era, which they say ruined the black family. I mean, it was, you know, all these giveaways that he came out with, you know, that he passed through Congress, were just essentially just like this Build Back Better bill. It's yep. just a lot of welfare, a lot of socialist type of stuff. That was LBJ, and plus he escalated the Vietnam. He screwed the whole thing up. He poured more troops into it, and they lied about the results that were occurring in Vietnam. We were actually losing, screwing up left and right, and he put out his boys to say that things are going great, things are going great.
Oh, boy.
And he had people, you know, the draft was raging, the riots were going on, you know, the anti-war riots and the race riots. So I would disagree that he was that was as president. Now, as vice president, he didn't do anything.
What vice president does? Except for Mike Pence.
I was just going to say, Mike Pence did a lot.
Well, because he had to because of the COVID situation. And he did a very good job.
He stepped up. But LBJ, as vice president, under John Kennedy, did nothing. Kennedy hated his guts. He only took him on the ticket to get Texas, to win Texas. But he hated LBJ.
When Reagan got shot, the VP was supposed to be running the country. But if I remember correctly, when Reagan got shot, wasn't it like Alexander Haig who said, don't worry, I'm in charge?
Exactly right.
And he was what, the Secretary of State?
I believe he was either Secretary of State or Defense Secretary.
I don't think he was Defense. I think that was... he was around for 1,000 years.
Either way, it was him who said that, and of course, no. It would have been Bush, of course.
Was Bush's VP for both terms, both ways?
Okay. And that, by the way, another duo that disliked each other, Reagan being a conservative, a more conservative Republican, and George Bush viewed as a country club rhino Republican, essentially. That was the difference there. But I would say, Mike Pence. I would give Mike Pence the best vice president. I guess in recent memory, I can't
ever.
Bush 41 didn't screw anything up.
He didn't do anything though.
But Mike Pence actually did stuff.
Well, I think Mike Pence wishes that Donald Trump felt the same way about him as you do.
Yeah, that whole.
Because I think they still don't like each other.
Right, the whole January 6th thing sort of created a little wedge.
Yeah,
little
which is unfortunate because he did step up and did a very, very good job. And that brings us to the approval ratings for the guy in charge right now. Another weekend and another bloodbath for Biden and Harris. I mean, the numbers are getting lower and lower. I don't know how low they can get. I don't know what the lowest number is ever in the history of the presidency, but every weekend is a bloodbath for Joe Biden.
He's got hairy legs.
And these
he does have those.
These are rigged polls. These are really fake polls. They're rigged for the benefit of the Democrats. They oversample Democrats. Now, if you had, first of all, an honest press who would actually convey to the people how bad Joe Biden actually is, and if you had honest and fair polls, it would be a lot lower because who the hell thinks he's doing a good job?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody's
going to
be
possibly.
Honest. It's impossible. Now, why does the press keep talking this? This seems to be one of the themes. Kyle Rittenhouse is no hero. Me personally, I don't view Kyle Rittenhouse as a hero. I don't think he should have been there that night, but I do think he was allowed to defend himself and should have been acquitted, and he was acquitted. But who was walking around calling Kyle Rittenhouse? Now, I know he killed a couple of really bad people, including a child rapist, but is anybody describing Kyle Rittenhouse as a hero?
I would say that there are people who are saying what he did was noble. In the absence of a civil society, again, as I mentioned earlier, the default position when there were no police and there were no National Guard, when the authorities decide not to deploy and protect innocent people, innocent businesses, there is a void that has to be filled. And it is filled by, if you want to call them vigilantes, call them vigilantes. It's filled by civilians with guns. That's what it's filled by. And this kid was 17. Look, if he was my son and he says, I'm going to the city. I'd say, listen, son, please don't go. But what he did was noble. Let's face it. It was noble. He was protecting.
So you do think he's a hero?
I don't know if he's a hero. I think he's a hero for killing a child rapist and for killing the skateboard schmuck. So I don't know if you want a character. I think what he did was noble. It was nothing wrong with what he did. And it was all because of our feckless, coward authorities. These real spineless pieces of garbage decided they were too afraid to squash the rioters who were rioting for a guy who had raped a woman. There was a warrant out for him sexually assaulting a black woman. And so the media and our government officials, those are the people who are to blame for whatever happened in Kenosha that day. And by the way, it turned out to be a good thing because, yes, he got rid of a child rapist and the skateboard schmuck, a woman serial abuser. So I think all in all, what he did was a very good thing.
And the name of that town is pronounced Waukesha, that you're hearing about all morning long, where this kid who was running away from, it looks like a stabbing, he was running away from one incident, ended up causing a major incident and killing at least five people, injuring at least 40 others at this holiday parade. But I think the town is actually Waukesha. That's how it's pronounced. And this is going to be the story you're going to hear all day as we start Thanksgiving week. Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday. This is always such a great week. It's a short work week. It's a family week. It's time for us to really sit down and realize how grateful and thankful we should be for so many things. Hopefully that's going to be the case with most of us, hopefully. And then we start the week off with this awful tragedy. But I think that you do pronounce the name of the town, Waukesha.
Waukesha. And there is, people know, even our colleague Greg Kelly has finally tweeted out. And I retweeted this stuff last night. That's how I knew exactly what it was when I came in this morning. But Greg Kelly, this is what he tweeted. Christmas parade massacre. The suspect is an anti-cop, Trump-hating, aspiring rapper. But they're not saying that. Law enforcement expert, the criminal Andrew McCabe, tiptoeing around anything you'd want from a law enforcement expert. Details on the suspect. Now, so I told you, Miranda Devine, Carol Markowitz, reporters for the New York Post, have tweeted out the name, the mugshot of this guy. He was arrested on Friday for not only domestic abuse, but a couple of felonies as well. And he was released on $1,000 bail. $1,000 bail for like six charges. And I saw the video that Greg Kelly refers to, the aspiring rapper. That vehicle that he used to mow down those, so sick and sad what he did with that vehicle.
Kids.
That vehicle is in the rapper's video in which he talks about shooting and killing people.
Yeah.
So he is, as Miranda Devine tweeted out, he would be called a black supremacist if we had a fair media, because just the way they did with, you know, Kyle Rittenhouse.
Yes.
In this case, there's apparently there's plenty of stuff to back up. His Twitter, his social media is filled with support for Black Lives Matter, black nationalism, and actually it instructs people on how to mow down people in the streets with the car.
Oh, my God.
According to Miranda Devine's tweet.
She's very credible. Her book is coming out. In fact, she'll be on the show December the 2nd. And next Tuesday, November the 30th, I'll be at her book signing party at Beach Cafe, Miranda Devine. She's got the same publisher as I do. And I finished my book last weekend. And Bernie wrote the foreword last weekend. And John Catsimatidis and Bill O'Reilly have promised to write nice blurbs for the book. And, yes, I saw the video just now once again of LeBron James knocking Isaiah Stewart with an elbow into the face, drawing a lot of blood.
By the way, there was nothing between him and Enos Kanter on Friday night, sadly.
The Celtics and Lakers, you're right. All right, lots more to do today. I believe that Lydia's not here. She's in Michigan. So no Lydia reports coming up next. We do have Beat Bernie coming your way in the 9 o'clock hour.
hour. Been a great Monday show. Keep it right here with Bernie and Sid on this Happy Thanksgiving week.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, I feel like busting a move right now on this festive. Actually, it's with the horrible news, it's hard to say festive,
I know.
You got to compartmentalize, man.
Because of Waukesha, basically, that was a holiday event.
I mean, just really, for your own psychological benefit, you have to compartmentalize and block stuff out.
Well, you know what helps with that?
If you want to survive.
Vodka.
Yes, it does.
That's why it sucks. You can't drink anymore. Really, it's hard. You know, it's easy for you. You can go out today and, you know, and have a couple of beers, which you're Irish. You'll probably do that anyway.
No, I can't.
Hello?
I can do no such thing. In fact, the last few years, I've something had to give, and what gave for me was drinking.
You stopped drinking altogether?
But no, not altogether. But
not in the afternoon?
Only on maybe a Saturday night. And during holidays.
That's the only time.
That's it. But otherwise, I can't. You just can't do it. It's just the price you pay is too much.
Totally agree.
That won't stop me this Thanksgiving. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to
it. Big drinking holiday for you?
I mean, relatively speaking, compared to the way I drink now. Compared to the way I used to drink, I drink very moderately now, but still for me, it will be enough to.
But not Wednesday night. Wednesday night's pop. You got to get pop, taken back
Wednesday
from upstate
night,
New York.
Yeah, you got to sleep Wednesday night. You got to relax. Right. So Thursday. Either way. Thursday. All right. Let me just quickly. Lydia's not here today. She's somewhere in Michigan or something like that. Yeah. And I mentioned earlier, I'm pretty much had it up to here with Governor Chris Christie, a guy who I used to love, still like, but really wish he would just go away right now. He's got a book out. He's trying to make some money. He's trying to build up some leverage to get a better contract out of ABC. Who the hell knows?
You should know this, folks, that Chris Christie would be the first person, and he's done this on this show, to give Bernie, specifically Bernie, along with Imus, credit for making him the politician winner that he was.
We could dredge up the tape. Sid was sitting right here. Yes, thank you for acknowledging
I got to hand it to Bernie.
Thank you, President Trump. So he's on Bill Marshall. Now, he's talking tough, you know, on Fox News about the Kyle Rittenhouse thing. He's on with Bill Maher, and all of a sudden he turns into a big camel-toe coward. Right. You know, he's sitting there with Eric Adams and Bill Maher. And all he's talking about, well, the jury did the right thing. And, you know, if you don't like the law, change the law regarding ownership of guns. That's all he said. There's so much else to this trial, so much else to this whole case that should have been addressed, the white supremacy hoax that, you know, the fact that the National Guard and the police were not deployed for 3 days straight, and then the shooting happened, blah, 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 whatever. There's so many things. It fell on Eric Adams, actually, to make sense about rioting in general during 2020 that the media condoned and called peaceful protests. Eric Adams sitting next to him actually was the voice of reason.
I'm really concerned. There is I believe there's an anarchist group in this country. The only desire is to continue to pull our cities apart. When I saw police vehicles being firebombed, when I saw the destruction of property that's happening, we have a place in Portland where there's a city in a city. This is America. There's only one country called America. So there's not multiple countries.
I mean, Chris Christie, that's why he'll be president before you will, because he said that. You didn't, because you were too afraid to say it. Then Bill Maher was the one who had to point out that there were no police and no National Guard, and that's why vigilantism filled the void, if you want to call it vigilantism. So, Chris Christie, grow a pair when you show up on these left-wing outlets, when you're sitting there with George Stephanopoulos and Bill Maher. Also, he didn't address the fact that Joe Biden himself called the kid a white supremacist. Biden, the old imbecile, the demented piece of crap, was asked about that on Friday. Listen.
No.
Well, look, I stand by what the jury has concluded. The jury system works, and we have to abide by it.
A, he didn't answer the question, and B, then he said the right thing about the jury. But later on, his handlers put out a statement saying that, in his name, he says, I am angry and concerned at the verdict. his handlers put that statement out. This idiot, let them do that, though, because that's the kind of coward he is. Now, Rittenhouse gave an interview to Tucker Carlson, which will air tonight. White supremacist, listen to what he said.
This case has nothing to do with race. It never had anything to do with race. It had to do with the right to self-defense. I'm not a racist person. I support the BLM movement. I support peacefully demonstrating. And I believe there needs to be change. I believe there's a lot of prosecutorial misconduct, not just in my case, but in other cases. And it's just amazing to see how much a prosecutor can take advantage of somebody.
Now, there you go. That would be 16. But look, that was Rittenhouse there. White supremacist. He supports BLM. And look, he may be misinformed. He is ignorant. He's not a very bright kid. But no matter what, he still did not murder people. He killed a child rapist. He killed the skateboard schmuck who was a woman serial beater. And the only reason we know all this fact that it was self-defense was because, not because of ABC News or CNN or any of these people were in the streets of Kenosha. They declined. They didn't want to highlight riots. You had these online journalists from townhall.com, from dailycaller.com, Drew Hernandez, who was actually a witness at the trial. By the way, they were all three Latinos for whatever reason. Anyway, Julio Rojas was interviewed Friday night, and he said this about this Rosenbaum, JoJo, who they're calling, who nobody will call a child rapist in the mainstream media, but Rojas called him out. Because this guy was hurling racial expletives and saying, shoot me, N-word, shoot me, N-word, shoot me, N-word. This is Julio Rojas.
People are calling this a win for white supremacy when the only evidence we have of someone being racist that night was Joseph Rosenbaum, who was slinging the N-word around like he was some wannabe SoundCloud rapper. And I should know that because I filmed him doing that while telling other white people to shoot him. And so, I mean, I guess at the end of the day, I guess you got to be careful what you wish for.
I love that.
That is funny. Wow.
That was the clip of the weekend.
Oh, my God. That is funny.
Yeah, careful what you wish for. Shoot me, N-word. Shoot me, N-word. Shoot me, N-word. Well, guess what? Next thing you know, I was watching a tape of him at the end of the trial, laying on the floor, his eyes wide open but vacant. He was dying. The air was going out of him. He was dying.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you got what you wished for there, punk.
You did. By the way, right now on CNN, John Berman, Bernie's guy, his buddy John Berman, is speaking to Phil Murphy.
My boyfriend.
Yes, his boyfriend. Political chatter. New Jersey governor speaks out on close race with GOP challenger. And the reason why I made mention of it is because I literally got a text from Jack Manzo about 20 minutes ago. And yes, Bernie and I will bring back Jack Cittarelli one more time. Now, this was 20 minutes ago. I had no idea Phil Murphy was going to be on talking about this, as he is on CNN. Jack Cittarelli tomorrow coming up at 8:40.
I like what I hear.
If you could only see the way she loves me, then maybe you would understand why I feel this way about our love and what I must do. If you could only see how blue her eyes can be when she says, when she says she loves me.
8:44, Monday morning. Tonic. Great song. Happy Thanksgiving week, everybody. Welcome back to the Bernie and Sid Show. Got a full board of calls here. You know, I did say that Thanksgiving, Thursday night, my father's gone, so and my sister, Alana, sold their house up in New City. So we used to have these really, really nice Thanksgivings at my sister's house, and my dad would be there, and all my nephews and nieces and sisters and brother-in-laws. We'd play football, watch football. We'd start the day eating bagels at 10 in the morning and usually at home about 10 o'clock at night. But that's over. So now it's just the four of us that spend Thanksgiving together. And a couple years ago, I went to a place in Harlem. I told you about this. Red Rooster.
Yes, yes.
It was great. And I don't live far from Harlem. I'm about 20 blocks away on the Upper West Side. So we're going back this year, back to the Red Rooster in Harlem.
Nice.
And that takes us to Harlem right now.
Yeah.
One of our favorite callers, a lovely lady, big fan of both the bars. Lori is on line three. Good morning, Lori.
Yes, good morning. And you're right, Sid. They do have the best chicken dishes at Red Rooster. I will agree.
So good.
Yes, I just wanted to start off and wish you all a very happy and enjoyable Thanksgiving. Oh, and a happy early birthday to Gabe.
Thank you.
That's and I also want to say, this is such a great show, and I'll say this real quick, and then I'll end up on my Joy Reid comment. This show can transition with such finesse from you, Sid, trimming your beautiful body hairs into supply chain issues. You guys, nobody does it like you, so I
Thank
have
you.
To put that out
That's a
there.
Huge compliment. That's what we strive for every day.
Yes.
I tell people that all the time. We do all the important political stuff, whether it's local or national. We do the newsy stuff. But that transition you're talking about is what makes morning shows great. So thank you for saying that.
Lori.
Thank you, and I'm going to be out your way for the holiday burn. I'm going out to my family out in Riverhead in the Mariches.
Oh, nice,
for Thanksgiving.
Nice. Enjoy,
so,
please.
So, listen, Saturday night I was watching our girls Diamond and Silk on Newsmax, and they had a segment on their show where they were talking about Joy Reid on that network I won't mention. But I could hear your hood Bronx voice burn saying what they said to Joy Reid about her racist comment she always makes. She said that that network, and I'll quote them, they're using you, boo.
That's great.
They're using you, boo.
That is great.
No doubt about it. Yeah, they are. Exactly right. Now, who am I to speak for black people? But they seem to think, you know, black people are monolith. They all think the same way, act the same way. That's not the case.
Not at
all.
Black
people have divergent opinions and views and all that stuff. And so MSNBC, you're not talking, you know, Joy Reid, you're not speaking for all black people.
Not even
And
close.
Lori is Exhibit A.
Lori is speaking for most black people. Lori, happy Thanksgiving. We love you. Thank you so much. Seriously. 58 years ago today, John Kennedy assassinated in Dallas, Texas. Today is the anniversary / commemoration. 58 years ago, I was not born yet. Bernie was just a little boy. Here's Carol in New Jersey on line one with her memory of that day.
Hi, guys. Happy Thanksgiving to
you
both
too.
You too,
sweetie.
And Bernie. I was 5 years old when this happened. And the school, of course, didn't say anything to us about it, even though they knew, because they thought we were too young to hear that kind of news. So I go home, and I see my mother sitting in front of the television crying. And I'm like, Mommy, why are you crying? And she told me the reason why, so I found out.
From your mom crying, and I think a lot of young kids, thank you for the phone call, Carol.
Yeah.
Found out the same way.
Well, I found out because, like I said, they preempted my cartoons there. Hi, Rita, Tim, where's Bugs Bunny at? Where's Papa the Sailor Man? Hey,
I don't think your parents were, I don't think your father was crying. He's not that type of guy.
Oh, well,
maybe your mom
they
was.
Were huge. I remember seeing, as I grew up, they stored away these Kennedy for President buttons. I mean,
really?
He was the first Irish Catholic president.
True.
And they voted for him. I mean, let's see. Were they? Yeah, I think they were citizens. Yeah, sure they were citizens by 1960. So they voted for John Kennedy. And then, of course, after we got mugged and beat up and, you know, chased around the projects during the riots, all that stuff. Well, they became Republicans
there you go.
And conservatives.
And there you have it. They made the move like a lot of us did. Line four, Ralph in New Rochelle. Looks like he wants to talk about Rittenhouse. Good morning, Ralph. How are you, pal?
Good morning, gentlemen. I listen to your show every morning on my way to work.
Thank you for that. Thanks. We appreciate that. Thank you.
I'm just wondering, why is it that a teenager feels he has to go and protect property and people when the elected officials in the town didn't see it was necessary? And they're the people elected and paid to do their job. And then they want to jump on this guy either side of the argument, what he was doing. But no one is holding these elected officials accountable for not doing their job.
Well, that's not true. I mean, shows like we hold them accountable. People who are not in bed with the Democrats do hold them accountable. I mean, if you're looking for MSNBC or CNN, do it, Ralph. It ain't going to happen. But
well,
we do hold them accountable.
Yeah, right. He stipulated that the minority people like us in the
that's
media.
That's it.
Well, Governor Evers, by the way, and I've been saying it all morning, Ralph, of course, and forever, whatever. Governor Evers did not deploy the National Guard.
No.
The day Kyle Rittenhouse went to Kenosha was the third day of the riots.
Correct.
No police, no National Guard. So in the void of police, in the void of you know, civil order, vigilantism or whatever you want to call it springs up. Somebody, a civilian with a gun, is definitely going to protect his own property. I mean, what else?
But again, it wasn't his friends. It wasn't his property.
I know. Whether or not it's his or
right.
his friends.
Whether we should have been there or not. I don't think he should have been there.
You should have had the police there.
Agreed.
You should have had the National Guard.
Agreed.
And then he would not have been there.
Agreed. No, I'm with you 100%. But if you guys are looking for accountability, I mean, we have the same conversation every. It's not going to happen. The overwhelming majority of the media is going to protect
these cities and Democrats and take kids like this and make them look bad. So I'm not sure why you even make that call.
I mentioned earlier, in fact, that Bill Maher, I'll play the clip later, Bill Maher actually did point that out. Bill Maher, where Governor Christie sat there, said nothing about it.
Right.
Bill Maher actually had to point it out. Bill Maher actually said that the answer to no police and no National Guard should not be vigilantism, but it should be. What else can it be? But he did point out that there were no police and no National Guard. Bill Maher did. So somebody is holding him accountable. He acknowledged that that's the reason why Rittenhouse was there.
Hard to believe that over the last 2 months, the man that has become the voice of reason in this country, far and away, Bill Maher.
I mean, when you have Governor Christie sitting there who knows he's afraid, he's pandering. Right. Why don't you speak up there, Christie?
Forget about Fatso. It wasn't even just this week. How many times in the last 2 months have we mentioned Bill Maher? Like a thousand.
Exactly right. Right. No question about it. He's a traditional liberal. He still hates Trump, all that stuff. It's stipulated. But he's not out there on the lunatic fringe. Like, you have him, you have James Carville, you have Alan Dershowitz, Jonathan Turley, people like that who still believe, in the Constitution, due process, free speech, and not judging people on the color of their skin, but on the content of their character. Those are traditional liberal tenets and principles that today's Democrat Party and today's quote-unquote progressives have abandoned.
Robbie, Long Island, line two, then we'll go to break. Robbie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, boys. It's Fat Robbie from The Wiz. How are you?
Hey,
how Robbie.
How you doing, pal?
What's up?
Long time, buddy. You guys are doing great. Love the show.
Thank you.
Well, I just want to bring up my JFK moment because I was 7 years old, and I remember coming home from school, and believe it or not, that is like the milestone in my life that marked my television memory.
Wow. 7 years old. That's the first major memory.
Must have been a horrifying time.
Terrible.
I was just quite a little bit too young to appreciate the gravity of what happened.
Yeah.
But I guess at seven, it would just terrify you. It would traumatize you.
Of course.
The president of the United States had his brains blown out.
Oh, my God.
On national TV, no less.
I remember I was six. My first any medium memory, it was radio. And I was in Joe's Barbershop on Avenue U in Brooklyn, Avenue U on East 18th Street, with a bunch of fat guys in the back. I'd go there to get my haircut with my father. I mentioned this story a million times. And they would have the Mets on. And the Mets were playing the Oakland A's in the World Series, 1973. And I vividly remember Vida Blue was pitching for Oakland and Wayne Garrett was at the plate for the Mets. And I remember listening to that on radio when I was six. And then after that, I have memories of TV and radio and all that. But that was my first memory. Thank God, not the president being shot, not 9/11, nothing of that, nothing that grave. It was the Mets and the Oakland A's.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that explains a lot. It's an early memory. Yeah. I guess it does explain that. But no, you came around quickly. You remember when Reagan was shot a few years later?
Of course.
There was some saving grace to your youth.
Right about the time Reagan was shot was also, I remember very vividly, because my parents used to fly us. We went to Florida quite a bit. We had a house in Florida. And, of course, I lived in Florida for 16 years. The Air Florida crash, because it hit the bridge in the Potomac.
Oh, yes.
It was right about the same time Reagan got his, shot. It was around the 80, 81,
right,
82.
Right.
Remember, it hit the bridge and fell in the water?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember it clearly. Yeah.
Oh,
and actually, you had people, good civilians, jumping in.
And saving people.
To save people.
Yeah.
And it was
frigid.
One of my earliest memories, of course, not my earliest memories. One of my memories was I was driving a taxi at the time in the afternoons. And Howard Stern, afternoons and evenings, Howard Stern did a comedy bit, and he caught a lot of heat over doing a comedy bit over that particular plane crash.
Howard Stern.
That's what I remember.
What are you going to do? Howard. All right, got a lot more to do on this show, including Pete Bernie. Keep it right here. Been a great Monday edition of Bernie and Sid. My buddy Tom Sloan checks in. He says, I was 11, homesick watching TV.
heard POTUS was mortally wounded. I asked my mom what mortally meant. That's how I found out. That's how she found out. Tom went on to become a Secret Service agent. You know who he is, actually, Bernie. My friend Tom Sloan. I want to take all these calls. Joe in Dyker Heights, Miriam in Forest Hills, Denise in Nassau County, John in New Canaan, John in the Bronx, Scott in Brooklyn. But we are running up against the end of the hour. So in the 9 o'clock hour, if you want to stay on hold, we'll do calls at 9:25 and 9:45 in between the meat of the day at 9 and Beat Bernie at 9:40. The fourth and final hour of a great edition of Bernie and Sid on this Monday morning is coming back. Here's some more Ringo Starr.
I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good.
I got you. Yeah, we got you, ladies and gentlemen, on the Bernie and Sid Show. We're glad to have you. Thank you for listening. We really do appreciate it. We're heard everywhere on the 77 WABC app, simulcast out on Eastern Long Island News Talk 107.1 FM, and also live streamed at WABCRadio.tv on your smart TVs, on your computers. You can watch us, WABCRadio.tv. Ladies and gentlemen, it is really should be a very, very happy week. A lot of negative news out there, but either way, you got to compartmentalize and enjoy your family. That's the kind of week it is. But over the weekend, it got a little ugly. Of course, you had the Rittenhouse verdict. We talked about that all morning long. But one of the things that happened in New York City didn't get that much play, I don't think. You had the these idiots closing down the Brooklyn Bridge. But again, that was par for the course. However, out in Middle Village, Queens, you had 40 people show up in black masks, black suits, something called the Black Block, Black Block. These people went there and they terrorized the whole neighborhood. It's been described as a pro-cop neighborhood. A lot of Blue Lives Matter flags, American flags, etc. A lot of cops live in that hood. And they just destroyed cars, ripped down flags, all this type of thing. And the police were there. The police actually arrested five people, believe it or not, in Middle Village out of 40. Too bad they couldn't. I mean, that means 35 went free.
I don't get that. That's right by Howard Beach. That's Tom Sullivan's area, by the way.
Right.
Our good friend Tom Sullivan.
So it was really ugly. That was a riot here. And there was one guy who was arrested, though. I will point out. I'll name his name. His name is Charles Edmonds. And he's a Rutgers University graduate and a middle school teacher in Freehold, New Jersey. Freehold, New Jersey. Are you listening? Charles Edmonds, who teaches at your middle school, was arrested at a riot assaulting police and vandalizing property, ripping down American flags. Freehold, New Jersey Middle School, Charles Edmonds. Get rid of this guy. He's teaching your kids, ladies and gentlemen.
Agreed.
Eric Adams was very strong, and he was quick to respond to the violence, particularly in Middle Village, Queens. He said this.
To come to a neighborhood and openly destroy property, be disruptive, throw objects at the residents of a neighborhood, that is unacceptable in our city.
Eric Adams, again, coming through, passing the test.
Sounds good. I mean, you got this Bill de Blasio on Friday actually upset over the Rittenhouse verdict, which was the right verdict, and saying all these things again to incite and provoke the bad guys, and here's Eric Adams doing the complete opposite. So for all the bad I said about Eric Adams the last couple of months, he's not the mayor yet, but leading up to it, he's doing a fine job.
Included in that aforementioned de Blasio tweet, he said about the Rittenhouse verdict, we can't let this go. What does that mean?
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Go beat people up?
Yeah.
Go lay on the Brooklyn Bridge? So, go shoot some cops?
So just like with the cops executed in back in 2014, it led to the Middle Village riots, perhaps. I mean, he's encouraging, inciting violence. Maybe that's why his daughter was out there throwing bricks at cops, because he encouraged her to do so. And regarding the teacher in Freehold, New Jersey, Charles Edmonds, who went to Middle Village to riot and assault police officers, he crossed state lines, ladies and gentlemen. Can you believe that? He actually crossed state lines to commit riot. Where is that all over the place? You don't hear it. Look, it's just disgusting is what it is. Somebody called and actually was asking, why aren't we telling the story about the Waukesha, Wisconsin tragedy? I've been talking about it all morning long.
So why? I opened the show with it at 6 o'clock. What are you talking about?
No, but I mean the fact that we know who the perp is.
Oh, yes. You described everything to a T. You were brilliant.
Everything brilliant. That the perp is. And it starts with, it's all over online. None of the mainstream media, nobody is reporting this. Nobody. But the New York Post columnist, Miranda Devine, New York Post columnist, Carol Markowitz, they're all over it.
But he wasn't he's not a black guy.
Yes, he is.
He is a black guy.
The man, and here's what Miranda Devine retweeted from this journalist, this online journalist, Andy Ngo. He's a Vietnamese gay kid who got beat up by Antifa one time, and he chronicles what happens in these riots. Anyway, he said, this is what Andy said that Miranda Devine retweeted. The man in custody over the mass casualty incident at the Waukesha, what do you call it?
Waukesha,
Wisconsin Christmas parade has posts on his social media in support of BLM causes, George Floyd, and black nationalism. He also has a post about how to get away with running people over on the street.
Wow. And so he wasn't a white supremacist?
Miranda Devine tweets, this is Miranda's words, black supremacist, quote unquote. That's how President Biden and allies would characterize him if he truly believed in equity.
Yeah.
I love Miranda Devine. We're watching you, Dems, MSNBC, CNN, Washington Post, New York Times, etc. That's Miranda Devine. We're watching you. I love this woman. And she's the one who said that the people who charged Kyle Rittenhouse were, her words, quote unquote, cowardly bastards. And it also turns out that the guy who perpetrated this horrific, these mass murders in Waukesha, he was arrested on Friday. He was arrested for domestic assault, domestic abuse, a bunch of felonies as well, six charges, and he was let out on $1,000 bail. Folks, you haven't heard that on any news station anywhere else. You heard it here, and you're gonna hear it a little bit later on. But right now, they're covering all that up. And speaking of covering stuff up, oh, by the way, here is this guy, the guy who perpetrated the crime. He had a site called the Cocaina. And he's a registered sex offender, and he explains why he's a registered sex offender. This is the guy who killed at least five people and wounded 40 people in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Listen to him.
And then as soon as we fall out, all of a sudden now I'm a pedophile. Let me explain that. 10 years ago, 2006, I caught a case with my oldest daughter's mama. Yes, my baby mama. She's from Oakland. I was busting moves in Nevada. I meet the b**ch. She says she want to get down, so I'm pimping on the b**ch. I'll take her to Nevada. You know what I'm saying? I get cracked. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know the b**ch was 16 at the time. She gave a statement to the police and told them, she was hoeing, that I was pimping, and that she was 16, and that I didn't know that. Okay?
Now, once the fake news, once the police and everybody confirms that this is the guy, they will, they have their pictures on him online, mug shots, all that stuff. But once they do, how is CNN and MSNBC going to cover this? How are they going to do? What are they going to do? Ignore it?
Well, there's an Illinois Democrat in trouble this morning. I think you saw this. An Illinois Democrat has been blasted for describing the deadly Christmas parade rampage in Wisconsin yesterday as karma for the acquittal of Kyle Rittenhouse. You can't make this up. Mary Lemansky, who was listed as the social media director in the Democratic Party in DuPage, Illinois County, began her heartless online tirade by smartly dismissing the tragedy as just self-defense. She said all this is karma for the Rittenhouse verdict. That's unbelievable. She should be censured today.
Who is she? An Illinois what?
Her name is Mary Lemansky.
An Illinois state rep, you said?
She is listed as the social media director for the Democratic Party in DuPage County in Illinois.
She's got to be gone by midday. Midday. That's unbelievable. This guy, you saw the videotapes. I mean, he mowed down kids. You got hot chocolate in the streets. You got dolls. You got toys, cookies in the street. How could somebody, oh, my God. That is really sickening. Listen, people are sick. They lie. They flat out lie. Speaking of lying, and I asked you this morning, what's wrong with this particular analysis of the Kyle Rittenhouse acquittal? This is Friday on ABC News. Jonathan Carl, you tell me what's wrong with this assessment, Sid Rosenberg.
Well, it's very significant. First, for the community of Kenosha, this city was traumatized by the police killing of a black man, Jacob Blake.
Well, it turns out that I echoed the same thing this morning, and they're killing me on Twitter, at Sid Rosenberg and Instagram, but I made a mistake. He didn't. I don't think Jonathan Karl made a mistake. I think he just wanted to, you know, kind of stoke those flames. But Jacob Blake, of course, was not killed. He's in a wheelchair. He's paralyzed, but he did not die.
So the fake news has been lying, been implying or outright saying that Rittenhouse killed black people. Of course, we played the clip earlier. He'll say on Tucker Carlson Tonight that he actually supports the BLM movement. I mean, now what? Joe Biden called him a white supremacist?
Right.
And you'll see him tonight, too. He sounds very reasonable. Whatever. Either way, he's misguided on the BLM movement. But either he's not a white supremacist. There was never any indication.
No.
They actually confiscated his phone, all his electronics. No contact whatsoever. No even statements of support for Trump or any of that stuff. Nothing. They made it up out of whole cloth, just out of thin air, did these fake news people. So much so that it went around the world. Lie will travel around the world before the truth gets up and puts its shoes on. You heard the old maxim, right?
No.
Well, anyway, Glenn Greenwald, actually, he lives in Brazil, and he talked about the way these lies have traveled around the globe. So if they travel around the globe like that, they travel around the United States with the common denominator nitwits that watch these stupid mainstream fake news shows. Anyway, this is Glenn Greenwald. Take a listen.
The three biggest news outlets in Brazil, not a year ago, but this week in covering the trial, explicitly stated that the people Kyle Rittenhouse shot were black, and they had to retract it. There wasn't just them. The Independent in the UK did the same thing. One of the leading Dutch papers did the same thing. Obviously, they're watching the American media that deliberately cultivated this false narrative from the start that he was a white supremacist, and so therefore they assumed that he went there and shot black people.
And it didn't work. You had the whole media, big tech. By the way, GoFundMe, they stopped their apparatus from raising money for him. The New York Times squashed the story about the real damage to black neighborhoods till after the election. All kinds of setups, framing jobs on Kyle Rittenhouse, and it was just really, really sickening, the whole thing. ABC News, I told you about, they face, a lot of these people face civil lawsuits. But anyway, there's a lot of crime that went on over the weekend. There was one other thing here regarding, that. And, Facebook blocked any support for Kyle Rittenhouse. That was my third thing. I just couldn't recall it right
now.
Saw
that. Yep.
Facebook blocked any support for Kyle. And it turns out he was innocent.
Doesn't matter.
I mean, so you had big tech, you had the mainstream media, you had politicians like, the presidential candidate. And Kamala Harris, who once said she was proud of Jacob Blake. I mean, these people are really they're sick in the head. They really are. They make this stuff out of whole cloth, as I said. But big time looting in San Francisco. 80 people orchestrated. They went into a Nordstrom's. 80 people showed up with crowbars and hammers, and they actually looted a bunch of stuff. I don't think anybody got arrested. They actually used cars. Same thing in Chicago. Crime is off the hook. But anyway, one saving grace right now is this lady who was elected to lieutenant governor down in Virginia. Her name is Winsome Sears. She went on the fake news yesterday. She went into the lion's den with Dana Bash lady, who tried to say that critical race theory is not being taught. Remember, that was really the essential issue, if you will, during that whole election with Glenn Youngkin and all that stuff.
In Virginia, when he beat Terry McAuliffe.
Right. So this lady, Winsome Sears, goes on CNN yesterday morning, and she goes at it with Dana Bash. Listen to this.
American history should be taught, and that we should also tell viewers, you're the former vice president of the Virginia Board of Education. So explain how you think race should be taught in Virginia public schools.
Well, let me back up. I beg to differ that CRT is not taught.
I didn't say that. I just said it's not in the curriculum, just to be clear.
No. It is part of the curriculum. It's weaved in and out of the curriculum.
Try.
In fact, in 2015, former governor, who was just defeated, McAuliffe, his state board of education had information on how to teach it. So it's weaved in.
There you go. Winsome Sears. She's a Jamaican immigrant, Marine Corps veteran, grew up in the Bronx, and she is an American treasure.
There you have it, folks. We'll take a contestant for Beat Bernie coming up next segment. Plus, we're back on the phones. We've got two phone segments coming up in between Beat Bernie, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Lots to talk about. The Rittenhouse verdict, the Build Back Better bill on the table 58 years ago today. Where were you when John F. Kennedy got assassinated? Football weekend, whatever you want. We're on the phones on Bernie and Sid next. Nice. Now sugar is fine. Contestant for Beat Bernie, your chance at a $100 gift card at WABC Barry House Coffee Mug right now, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Beat Bernie comes your way next segment. Chris McGlynn, Bethpage, Long Island, line 4 is our next call. Good morning, buddy. How are you, Chris?
Hey, Sid. Hi. You know, I always tell a story when you and I met, and you know, I always tell you, I openly recruit for your show, and I always give people that story, and what I always say is, he was the nicest guy. Like, he's a nice guy in the air, but even nicer in person.
Thank
and, you.
You
know, that's how you could tell the true character of
Thank
someone.
You. Thank you. I appreciate that. You did stick your you did stick your dirty ear thing into my ear.
I know.
And and that was great. You know the story, he was listening to our show, Bernie, our podcast.
Absolutely.
During a snowstorm. It was great meeting you that day, Chris. Thank you for those kind words.
Okay. Now, listen, the reason I called is you were talking about that DWI the other day.
Yeah.
You know, I've said you got a couple, and you don't want to blow into the thing. So let me tell you something. 5 years ago, I got a DWI. They gave me that device, that stupid device. You got to blow into your car to start the car. So, you know, I learned how to do it. And the worst thing about it is, though, about it 45 minutes into it, you could be driving, and the thing goes off. And while you're driving, you have to blow into it.
Correct.
And prove that you can still drive the car.
Correct.
So I'm taking my family to the Yankee game on a Friday night. I got that stupid device on the car. I'm driving it. I'm on River Avenue, I guess, and I'm in the turning lane waiting for the signal, okay? All of a sudden, the left signal goes off. I'm one of the first people to turn. All of a sudden, my car, the device goes on, so I'm panicking. I got to blow into it. I didn't blow into it successfully, so the car totally goes off for 2 minutes.
Oh, God.
So I'm in the left-hand lane. I got all these crazy Yankee fans honking at me from behind.
Oh, my God.
Calling me an a-hole as they're trying to get around me. And I'm just waiting there. I got my kids in the car with my wife, and they're like, what are you doing? I go, I got to wait 2 minutes to blow into this freaking thing before I can get into this. So anyhow, I just thought I'd tell you.
Finally, the first one is 2 minutes. The second one is 10 minutes, I believe. And the third one, like the car is done for hours. Like you're dead.
Plus, he could have gotten into an accident.
Of course, somebody could
hit
him.
It was a hazard. His kids could have gotten hurt. It was precipitated that conversation by the fact that the bill, the phony infrastructure bill, mandates in 5 years that all cars have that. All cars. All the car manufacturers have to build this into the cars.
That's right.
In 5 years, folks, you're going to have to do that. No turning on your car from like 20 feet away anymore.
Can't do that. Can't warm up the car before you get in there during a cold winter day. 58 years ago today, John F. Kennedy assassinated in Dallas, Texas. Joe in Diker Heights by Poly Prep in Brooklyn knows exactly where he was that day. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. I was in La Paz, Bolivia. I was with the service. I was working with the embassy. That day I went to town. As I was in town, people were yelling, the president got shot, the president got shot. And I thought it was the president of Bolivia.
Of course.
So what I did was I walked over to the embassy, the American embassy. Everybody was going crazy. And they said, John Kennedy got shot. You got to be kidding me. He got shot. I couldn't believe it. So what happened was 2 days later, we had to get dressed in our dress uniforms because we didn't wear uniforms because we worked for the embassy with a special detail. We went to they were having a mass. People were holding my hand, kissing me, crying. I'm sorry. Wow. It was unbelievable. Yeah. Then coming out of the church, the same thing happened. People were all over. I mean, I didn't realize how much they really loved Kennedy. And you saw it. You were in the States, so you saw what was happening over here. We were overseas. I never realized how much these people felt for our president.
Yep.
So it was really an experience. And I was only 20 years old, so I was only a kid then, you know. And it was something, boy, I'll tell you.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you for sharing that. That's a cool phone call.
And thanks for your service, too.
Yes, thank you for your service, too. John is in the Bronx. He's line 8. Good morning, John.
How you doing?
Hey, guys.
I'm at Junior High School 123, down the block from the Monroe Project. They didn't say anything. All they told us, something happened in Dallas, and they sent everybody home. They told us, go straight home. And I went home to 1755 Story Avenue.
Wow, that's my hood.
When I got home, my mother was in front of the TV, and Walter Cronkite said that Kennedy had just died. And that's what happened. I was 12 years old at the time, so I remember pretty well.
You said 1755 Story. I lived in 1785 Story. That was Monroe Projects, right?
True. You lived in the office building.
That's right. The 15-story building with the water tower on top, the police station right down, not that it did any good, but on the first floor, you're right.
Wow. One more call. Kyle Rittenhouse is going to be on with Tucker Carlson later on tonight. And during that conversation, Rittenhouse says, hey, me, a white supremacist, I'm actually a BLM supporter. A BLM supporter. Here's Steve in Bayside, Queens, on line 3, wants to talk about that. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, guys. I love your show.
Thank you.
Yes, of course, Kyle Rittenhouse had to say he supports BLM, and he might. But the thing is, he just got acquitted in this trial, and like his attorney and the judge, he's got a big target on his back, and he's trying to lower the temperature. I mean, think about it. He was attacked by 4 guys. 3 of them were white. He shot them all. And then the kicking guy was black.
Yeah, kicking guy was black and also a felon and a domestic abuser also, that guy. And they never named that guy. And they never charged him either. They never charged any of the – they didn't charge the guy who pointed the gun at the Gage Grosskreutz. Why wasn't he charged with crossing state lines using a gun? Should've. A gun that he shouldn't have had. I mean, yeah, you're right about that. I guess maybe Rittenhouse feels the pressure to say, I support the BLM.
Maybe.
Who knows? Either way. It was self-defense what he did in Kenosha that day. Bottom line.
We're going to play Beat Bernie next, and we'll take one more segment of phone calls. That's the good news. So if you're Glenn or Steve or Miriam or Dennis or Justin or Scott, we'll get to you. But we do have Beat Bernie coming up next.
Now, it's time to Beat Bernie.
It's time to Beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to Beat Bernie.
Time to Beat Bernie. Your chance at a $100 gift card and a WABC Barry House coffee mug. All compliments of our dear friend Pete Morgan and the fine folks at Fearless Boilers. Dennis is in Wyckoff, New Jersey on line 6. Good morning, Dennis. How are you, buddy?
All right, Sid. Listen to you every day.
Well, I appreciate that. You're retired, right?
I'm retired. Every day above ground is a blessing.
Damn right. Margot Katsimatidis checks in, the beautiful wife of John, who I really, really love. I love her to pieces. And she says, great show, guys. I love you guys. Thank you, Margot, for that. It has been a great show. All right, Dennis, here's your chance to beat Bernie and get $100 and brag to all your buddies. How does that sound?
Sounds great. You know, some days I get 5 out of 5 when I listen. Other days I couldn't hit a barn from the inside.
Yeah, I know. It happens. And then sometimes when you come on the show, you get a little nervous. So don't be nervous. Do the best you can. And
as long as you don't take my picture, I'll be all right.
Yeah, okay. I promise we won't do that, okay? All right, Denny. Here we go, pal. Number one, Alexander Haig was the chief of staff for Presidents Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford and held what position in President Ronald Reagan's cabinet? I mentioned this earlier.
He was Secretary of State.
That's right. Very good. Number two, in January of 2018, journalist Michael Wolff got his 15 minutes of fame with his book, Fire and What, about President Trump's White House. Fire and what?
Fire and ice?
Wrong, you two-legged back of
it was fire and fury. Number three, while Congress has declared war on 11 occasions, the first was on June the 17th of what year against Great Britain?
1812.
Pretty good.
two out of three here. In 1780, Denny, John Andre was caught with papers in his boot concerning Benedict Arnold surrendering the fort at what place?
Okay, could you repeat the question again?
Sure. In 1780, John Andre was caught with papers in his boot concerning Benedict Arnold surrendering the fort at what place?
West Point?
Right. Very good. And your chance to go four out of five and really put the pressure on Bernie. Trump Tower in Manhattan is located on what avenue? Trump Tower.
Fifth Avenue.
Yes. Denny, in Wyckoff, New Jersey, four out of five. That's pretty good. And I think Bernie's going to get four out of five, too. I don't think he'll get the Michael Wolff book right. He was on with us, that Michael Wolff. We don't like
him. You know something? At this point right now, like I say, sometimes I get five out of five. Sometimes I'm lucky to get one.
Well, you got four out of five, so that's a big deal.
Oh,
so,
the Mensa Hall of Fame.
Yeah. All right, Bernie, you need all five to win today. Four is a tie, okay?
I like it.
Number one, Alexander Haig was chief of staff for Presidents Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford and held what position in President Ronald Reagan's cabinet? Mentioned this earlier.
Oh, I'd have to go with Secretary of State.
And you'd be right. In January 2018, journalist Michael Wolff got his 15 minutes of fame with his book, Fire and What about President Trump's White House? Fire and?
Fire and ice.
That's what he said.
That's
incorrect. Fire and fury.
Okay.
So now you're on the same page as Dennis.
The best I can do is tie, is
correct.
What you're telling me.
Correct.
Okay, all right.
While Congress has declared war on 11 occasions, the first was on June 17th of what year against Great Britain?
That would be... I would have to, what year against Great Britain?
Yeah.
That would be 18. It was the War of 1812. Technically, though, what year was it?
Go with that.
I would go with 1812.
Yeah, in 17.
I mean, there's some. Yeah, well, go ahead. Never mind.
In 1780, John Andre was caught with papers in his boot concerning Benedict Arnold surrendering the fort at what place?
This is one hell of a story, by the way. John Andre, he really is. That was West Point.
Yeah. All right. Looks like we got a tie today because Bernie ain't going to miss this one.
They executed Andre. Yeah. Alexander Hamilton begged them not to.
I know he was executed. Where was he executed?
He was executed. I don't know what the exact location was. Maybe West Point.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
I don't know, but it was an amazing story because... Washington made the decision. Everybody, you know, Alexander Hamilton, all these guys said, look, he's an honorable guy. He was doing what he did for his, you know, his country, his army, his service. Spare him his life. And Washington said, no, we have to make an example.
30-year-old British Major John Andre is hanged as a spy by U.S. military forces in Tappan, New York on October 2nd, 1780.
Yep. They caught him on the Hudson River as he was trying to get away.
There you go. Trump Tower in Manhattan, located on what avenue?
Trump Tower in Manhattan. Well, of course, it's Fifth Avenue.
Of course. All right. Four out of five for both Bernie and Dennis today. Bernie, say hello to Dennis.
Dennis from Wyckoff. How are you, Dennis?
All right, Bernie. I've been listening to you for so long. I just want to say I've been listening to Imus. I go back to the old Imus days in the early 1970s when he came out, and he was something else back then.
When he came out in the 70s for what? Somebody was talking in my ear.
What? He was on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
When he was back in the 1970s, we all listened to him because he was so different for radio back then. And I'm going back almost 50 years.
Yeah, no, I remember. In fact, as a matter of fact, he missed his first day on WNBC because he was drunk.
Yeah, well, wasn't the first or last day he missed because he was drunk.
True
God
story.
Rest his soul. You know, thank you for the phone call, Dennis. You played very well today. Enjoy your retirement and call back again soon. Thank you, pal. Take
all
care.
Right, thank you.
Somebody wrote a story about us. It's called The Observer, The Bay Observer. You think it's in Canada? I think that's what Luke looked up. And the story's about the station, by the way. But it highlighted our show in particular. And the guy who wrote the story talked about Imus. And said the one thing about Imus was he was brilliant. He's one of the all-time greats. You never knew who he was rooting for. He said, Bernie and Sid are completely different. He actually called us alt-right, you and I. But he went on to say... But it's a very entertaining and funny radio show and one you shouldn't miss.
It's so funny. They call us alt-right.
Yeah.
If I asked you...
I voted for Hillary Clinton once.
If I asked you to define alt-right, you wouldn't even know how to define it. I can barely define it. I mean, what do you mean alt-right? We're just common sense.
That's all.
You want to put a pejorative adjective to whatever we are, go right ahead. It's common sense. We're anti-lunacy. How about that?
Right. Right.
Hey, listen, if you missed out on the chance to play Beat Bernie, listen tomorrow at 9:40 or try again. And try again, or you can take a stab at the $1,000 Minute on the other side of midnight, hosted by Frankie Marano. Every weekday morning at 4:30, you have the chance to win $1,000 if you can answer 10 consecutive questions correctly in 1 minute. Listen to the other side of midnight with Frank Marano on the overnights for entertaining and informative talk and the $1,000 Minute.
Beat Bernie, sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters on 77 WABC.
On this weekend, Jerry Maguire was on. Love this movie.
I loved him for the man that he is and the man that he was. And
back when Renee Zellweger looked like a human being,
barely. She still had a bit of beer face even then, but she was very cute in that role. She did a very good job there.
She should go to Dolce Aesthetics.
She should let Jen work on her. I just got a text from Jen like 2 seconds ago. It's so weird you said that. But I did, because I'm going back on December 1st. 77 WABC listeners, Juliet Huddy goes there. Start your mornings with a horny bowl full of unbiased news and information by listening to the 77 WABC Early News weekdays from 5 to 6 a.m. with Juliet Huddy and Frank Marano. Juliet and Frank objectively bring you the latest news from across the tri-state, traffic reports on the 7s and sports at 15 and 45. Download the 77 WABC radio app and wake up with the 77 Early News with Juliet Huddy and Frank Marano. Weekdays at 5 before us, and you can stay informed. Miriam, line 5. Good morning, Miriam.
Good morning. I want to wish you guys a great Thanksgiving. And Sid, did you get the ring of trees I had planted in Israel for your son's bar mitzvah?
I did get that. That was very, very sweet, Miriam. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you for the Thanksgiving wishes.
My husband might have been one of your teachers at NYU. I met him at NYU, but he was my teacher. But he taught in Kingsborough, our business department.
Well, he couldn't have been one of my teachers, sweetheart, because I didn't go to NYU, but that's okay. I did once sleep with a girl who went there, but that's a whole other story. I went to Baruch. You know, on Wednesday, Bernie left. He went to the doctor, so I'm alone right now for the last 3 minutes. He has to get an MRI today. But Wednesday, I'm solo. Bernie's here tomorrow. Wednesday, I'm solo. And if you want to call back on Wednesday and wish us, even though Bernie's not going to be here, a happy Thanksgiving, you can do that all morning on Wednesday. So you don't have to do it today. It's only Monday. You can wait till Wednesday. Because I like that type of stuff, because I'm sappy like that. You know, Justin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're very soft.
Stop.
And I've got Luke in here throwing things.
I know. What's going on in there? Justin on Staten Island, line 7. Good morning, Justin.
That's Steve on Staten Island. How Stevie. About Bernie and Sid, the truth tellers?
Well, that's us.
Hey, Sid, yeah. Good to meet you at the Teddy Atlas dinner. I met you in the Celebrity Lounge, and you are echoing a previous caller. You're really nice with the fans, very engaging. You're a nice guy, man. Cool.
Thank you. You too. Thank you.
In 1963, it's my birthday. I'm handing out candy in the sixth grade class, and over the PA system, the Reverend Mother plays Cronkite, telling us about what's happening.
Oh, boy.
It was traumatizing. Yeah. And for 4 days after that, we watched television. My mother cried the entire time. It's something you absolutely do not forget. Unbelievable.
Thank you, Steve. It was great meeting you, too. You're a very nice guy as well. 58 years ago today, the assassination of President Kennedy in Dallas. Is Joe in Suffolk County on line 3 with a subsequent event. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, good morning, Sid.
Hey, pal.
Yeah, I'm 11 years old, and I'm an eyewitness to my first murder. Well, I was in Catholic school, so you know, probably had a whole week off. And anyway, I'm watching TV 2 days later, and Harvey's being led out of the police station in the basement to a van.
Yep.
And the guy comes out of the crowd, sticks a gun in his belly, goes, boom! Yep. And I'm sitting there going, whoa!
Yep.
Whoa!
That was live on TV, Jack Ruby killing Lee Harvey Oswald. That's right. That was that must have been something fantastic. Why would he tell us he slept with a girl from NYU? Why not? Mike in Newark, why not? What, are you jealous? I may have slept with two. I'm not even sure. I don't know. Depends on the year.
You must be really self-absorbed and insecure.
I am. So then why do you listen to me every day?
I listen because you,
you know,
are...
More, I think, goodbye, Mike. You're an idiot. Stop being... It's fine. I am a bit self-absorbed. By the way, tell me one great radio host that wasn't. Hannity's not self-absorbed. Imus? Howard Stern? Who's not? Bernie's not. And that's why I'm here. You need that balance. So I'm all those things, Mike. You're exactly right. I'm a horrible person. Horrible person. Keep listening, douchebag. Back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. from all of us to all of you on this happy Thanksgiving week. I go right back. You see, I'm a nice guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love you all. Even that.
You're like a seesaw.
That's right. Tomorrow morning at 6. Have yourselves a great Monday. Peace.